much about.
You gotta put it into perspective.
Here's some loud music, which just sounds like it's saying, I'm angry. I'm very, very angry.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
Mr. McFeely came over here last night and asked if he could do something fun for me. A kind of secret, he said. Do you have a special something that you take to bed with you? Does it help you to go to sleep when you hold your special something?
Oh.
Now that really feels good. It's furry and brown. Some people like to sleep with it, and there are many different kinds of them in the world.
Oh, look at all the colors on it. Oh, it is big. And you're going to go up in that?
Before you go, there's one thing you need to know, and that's I'm Chris Hansen with Dateline NBC, and we're doing a story on adults who meet kids on the internet for sex. So, if there's anything else you'd like to tell us, we'd like to hear it. If not, you can walk out the door you came in.
And now,
girl, when are you going to let me tap that ass?
That's tempting.
Our feature presentation.
Don't walk out the door, whatever you do.
Really?
Remember that guy who got shot?
Shot?
I thought the altercation with the police?
Oh.
Yeah, I think he got shot.
Right.
I thought he shot himself.
Lisa?
Shot himself.
Oh, is that what it was? Yeah, that's been a while.
I think you're right.
That's why that show went off the air, because once that guy found out he was on To Catch a Predator, he held himself up in that house. He's like, I ain't going outside. I know what's waiting for me. And then he blew his head off.
You're telling me they don't do any more To Catch a Predator? That show's awesome.
Yeah, no, they're done.
Oh, I'm very sad.
Yeah.
I'm very sad. Although it's a lot safer on the internet now, but I'm still sad.
Yeah.
It's very entertaining. Hey, party people, it is Wednesday. You can give us a call at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to be on the air, get the show started off on the right foot, you get a prize, too. And today it's that Anchorman on Blu-ray, by the way.
Nice.
So. Yes. Great price. Certainly worth a phone call. If you've got something interesting to say,
absolutely,
you want to be part of the Kevin and Bean Show.
More than worth a phone call.
Yeah.
Hey, I don't know if you guys have seen this story. We have not had time to get to it. Did you see the story of the guy's house who burned down in Tennessee? Have you been following this ongoing drama?
Mm-mm.
It has really turned into kind of a big deal. This is a small town in Tennessee that is outside of the city limits of the nearby city, which I think is called Fulton. And they have a deal with the city fire department where they will cover your house. They will come out to your house in the event of a fire. If you pay for it, you have to pay the fire protection fee, basically, is what it is. So you don't live in the city. You don't get the automatic free with your taxes fire department service. But if you pay outside for $75 a year, they make sure that you're covered. It's like buying auto insurance.
That's not bad. That's $75
a
year.
Seems like a good deal.
Yeah.
Gene Kranick should have thought about that before he decided not to pay it. And then his house burned to the ground this week. And he called 911. And the fire department at first, seeing that he hadn't paid the fee, would not come out. And then eventually they did come out because it spread to a neighbor's field who had fire protection, and they came out and put it out from that guy's house, but not his.
Awesome.
So it has been a huge, huge story from people who say, yeah, but don't firemen have a moral obligation to go in there and fight a fire if they're there? The neighbors are all out there with garden hoses trying to put this guy's fire out while you've got a full-fledged fire department standing there with their truck not lifting a finger because the guy hadn't paid.
I agree. I mean, since they're there anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Right, but
the
dude should pay.
Well, yes.
Well, that's not that hard.
They could charge him $75 when they're done.
Yeah, like you have a credit card right now?
Okay.
Give it to us now. We'll run it, and then we'll fight the fire.
And this is what part of the debate has been, because a lot of people are saying, yeah, you should have done that. And then the managers of the city say, look, nobody would pay it then if you could pay it afterwards. That's why we do it this way, is to cover our costs and whatnot. And by the way, it would cost them way more than $75. I mean, in retrospect, I bet what they wish they'd done is put out the fire and then charge the guy whatever the amount was that it actually cost him, which probably would have been hundreds of dollars, I would imagine.
But then he wouldn't have paid that, and then what would they have done?
Gone and sued him and taken his burned-down house?
Set it back on fire.
It has been a huge story because, it gets into lots of areas about, what the purpose of government is and how many items do we want on the a la carte menu. If we don't want government to do everything, what do we want them to do? What are we willing to pay? I mean, it's been interesting. The son of the guy whose house burned down, by the way, sought out the fire chief later in the day and knocked him out.
Oh,
came
good.
Up on him and just hit him in the face. Just good. Knocked him down to the ground.
Well, that's how you handle things.
I mean, I totally get them not coming out if you don't pay the fee. But since they had to go out anyway and fight the fire next door, No. Really? They're just going to sit and watch it burn?
That's funny.
I can't imagine firemen sitting by, and this has really rubbed a lot of firemen. It's rubbed a lot of firemen the wrong way. As some people say, you've got an obligation, like a doctor has an obligation if somebody's sick. That's what you do, is put out fires. And then others are saying, hey, it's just property. It's on him. You know?
Guy's got a little tiny hose, and the firemen are going, hey, how's it going over there? You should probably spray to the right a little.
There's just water down the street.
Yeah.
If you went out and wrecked your car today and you called your insurance company and you hadn't been paying the premiums, they would not say, well, we really should give you insurance because that's what we do. They would say, sorry, you're not current.
They get out of it if you do pay.
That's true, too.
So anyway, interesting story out of Tennessee to keep an eye on there.
All right. Time for your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. Any topic is fine. You get on the air, you get a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
What it do, nephew?
As mentioned, it's The Legend of Ron Burgundy, known as Anchorman, the Rich Mahogany Edition, out on Blu-ray, in stores now for the first time in Blu-ray. It's must-own. Of course, our boy Will Ferrell is in that. It's got so many extras, including several versions of the film, lots of new bonus features, outtakes, table reads, cast auditions, the recording session for Afternoon Delight with him and Paul Rudd, which is so funny. I don't know that I ever would need collectible trading cards in my Blu-rays, but that's also part of it. So that's your prize for being on the air at 1-800-520-1067. Aaron gets us started. He's on line one on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Aaron.
What it do, nephew? What it do, baby?
What it do?
What's going on?
Hey, did you guys hear about Randy Moss getting traded back to the Vikings?
I saw the headline.
I saw there was a multiplayer deal going on, but I didn't really click on the details. What's happening?
Yeah, they said, I guess that whole... meltdown he had at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
I guess the Patriots didn't like it, so they're shipping him out. So he's going back to the Vikings to play with Brett Favre.
Boy, I'll bet Brett Favre is thrilled with that. Have a target like that?
Yeah, he was trying to get him a couple years ago when right before the Raiders got him. And the Packers didn't pull the trade, so now he's going to get him. So it's looks like the Vikings will be back on track again.
Also, I think the Vikings are going to be that team that's willing to pay probably too much because, they're desperate. Remember,
yes,
they were trying
to have them.
They were offering up everything for Vincent Jackson, and that deal didn't work out. So now to get a player like Randy Moss, even though he is a little over the hill, they're probably pretty happy.
By the way, thank you for the call very much, Randy. It would be so weird to have a job like that, and there are several jobs where you can pick up your family and move to a completely different city on no notice.
Yeah, overnight.
I mean, you're living, it happens to sports guys all the time, but you've got a whole life and family and kids in school and everything like that, and you're living in, you're living in Boston or something, and then you wake up the next day and all of a sudden you're living in Miami. Imagine how weird that would be.
Yeah, that's true. But imagine how great it would be not to play for Belichick. I mean, come on. That must suck.
He did good. Could have done better.
Let's try Don. He wants to comment on the fire story. He's on line four. Hey, Don, thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
What to do, guys?
What to do?
The story that I heard about that was not only did the guy offer to pay them right then and there, but he also had four pets that died in a fire.
Are you talking about the fire guy?
Yeah.
He had four pets. They died. Okay, bad. But he offered to give them the $75 when they were there?
Yeah.
He offered to pay whatever it cost, he said. I'm begging you, save my house.
Wow.
And they said, nope.
There's more going on here. They hated that guy for some reason.
Yeah.
They went all the way up to the head of the city, whoever he is. I don't know how that runs, if it's a mayor or what, but they went all the way up to him and said, can you make an exception? This guy's house is burning down. And he said, we just can't do that because that's a precedent, And believe me, everybody outside that town mailed in their $75 the next day. I'll tell you that.
Right.
Because you probably just don't think they'll ever not take care of you.
Well, yeah, I would think if they're there, they would put it out. But if they put out the word that you have to pay $75, I don't know. I mean, it seems like you could avoid this whole problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
By paying $75.
All right, thanks for calling, man.
Thank you for calling. Oh, you had pets in there. That's not good. Get the pets out.
That changes it for me.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
I love it.
I don't know what it is. I don't have any paperwork in here for some reason. Here we go. We are going to do Bean's Death Corner today. As he loves that so much.
Oh, okay.
He loves it.
I
have those guys' pets now. I didn't even realize that. Yeah. I got to put them in the corner.
No, it's only funny when humans die to you.
That's
not
right.
Pets.
Hilarious.
Comedian Bill Burr.
Yeah.
In the studio. Very funny. He's got a new DVD called Let It Go. We are going to talk a little bit more about the guy who they found crack cocaine Well, in his ass, and
right.
He said it wasn't mine.
I believe him. I think that's a good defense.
It wasn't mine.
I don't have any idea how that got in there.
What happened? What's that? Where'd you get that from?
Who knows? It's not mine, man. You can't prove it's mine.
We're also going to have a new internet roundup. Omar has a Glee cap of last night's Glee.
Oh, excellent.
And we're going to talk to people who saw Jesus or the Virgin Mary or some religious figure in inanimate objects.
Apparently, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's based last night's Glee. They had a Jesus, you know,
mm-hmm.
cheese sandwich with Jesus.
Does Jesus appear to anyone who doesn't speak Spanish, though? That's my question.
Good question. No. But we were talking about this yesterday, and we have somebody who works here who we love.
Yes.
And she said that that Jesus was on the outside of her. Mother Mary? Was it Mary?
It's Mary.
Virgin Mary. On the outside of a wall or something, when it rained?
Numerous times
she
has seen it.
And I said, it was just the shape of the Virgin Mary, though, right? And she said, no, it's the Virgin Mary.
Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah. And I was just
I think you believe in it if you want to believe in it. I think that's what this deal is. I mean, that's the difference between faith and science, is you choose to believe in it based on little or no evidence.
Right, but...
It doesn't have to be proved.
Yeah. But it seems like there is evidence in every one of these cases, you know, like mm-hmm. the shadow goes away, or remember that dude that saw him in the toilet?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it flushed it, and there was no Jesus. Well, I don't know. Maybe that means he wasn't there in the first place.
And or if Jesus he works in mysterious ways, man. You can't pretend to know.
But if he's going to show up, he doesn't pick a toilet. I'm just saying there's
other
options.
He's with the common man. You know that.
Wow.
Not underneath the common man, though. That's all I'm saying.
Really common man.
So we got that coming up as well. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Time to take a look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman is out this week. He will return on Monday. In the meantime, we are filling in. I've had about enough of all this Chelsea Handler news. You know, yesterday, Kevin, you were telling us that Freudian slip. He, if you've looked at her lately, is dating 50 Cent. And that apparently is a real thing.
That's
apparently
not they have a real thing.
Apparently they have been hot and heavy seen together more than one occasion since the MTV Video Music Awards.
Don't buy it.
Well, apparently you could ask Dave, who apparently follows 50's tweets, and he tweets about her all the time and has ever since that night.
What?
That is so odd.
You can not buy it if you want, but there's a lot of evidence to the contrary.
What?
Anyway, she's back in the news. This just announced. She is going to be co-starring in a film... A real movie, by the way, directed by our friend McGee, starring Academy Award winner Reese Witherspoon. Tom Hardy is in the movie. Chris Pine from Star Trek. Wow. The film is called This Means War. You're not going to believe this. She is going to play a friend of Reese Witherspoon's who is lusted after by their two best friends. What is up with that?
She's not unattractive.
She's not attractive, though.
She could probably get dolled up pretty good, don't you think?
No, in the world of movies, she is unattractive.
Yeah.
In the world of...
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
...of leading movie actresses who do get lusted after.
In the regular world.
Yeah. In the regular world, she's okay.
She's okay.
I'm also going to say, even if she's average in real life, her personality sinks her. She's just, you'd never want to hang out with that broad. That's all I'm saying.
Agree.
I mean, she couldn't be any hotter right now. Her show is doing well. She's got a book on the bestseller list. I thought the movie starts shooting later this month. She's on a stand-up comedy tour that's sold out in 80 cities, too, by the way.
My God.
Overruled!
How do we wake up today and Chelsea Handler is a big star? What's up with this? Anyway, I thought this was an interesting aside to a talk show host being in a movie because almost all of them have done it. I think maybe the only one I ever saw was the David Letterman one. Remember, he was in Cabin Boy. Remember he had that cameo in Cabin Boy?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was his friend Chris Elliott's film, and he joked about that for years about how he would never be in another movie because of how bad that was. Jay Leno played roles in a couple of movies, including American Hot Wax and Collision Course.
Mm-hmm.
Conan O'Brien was in a film in 1996 called Good Money. Didn't see that.
Mm.
Craig Ferguson has been in numerous movies, the most famous of which is he was a friend of Jim Carrey's in the Lemony Snicket movie. John Stewart has been in a number of films, including one called Death to Smoochie.
Yes, he was.
He was also in Big Daddy.
Wasn't he in that one with the quarterback, the kid? I don't want your life. That kid? Remember from Dawson's Creek?
Varsity
Blues, yes.
I don't know.
John Stewart was in that one, too?
I think so. I think he was a teacher or something.
John Stewart was in Half-Baked. That's all that matters.
Half-Baked.
Yeah. And, of course, Jimmy Fallon, one of the reasons he is a talk show host is because his film career wasn't going anywhere. He was making those, you know, those cop movies with Queen Latifah and everything, yeah. And it wasn't working out. So, anyway, I just thought that was interesting how many of the talk show hosts have been in it, but Chelsea Handler is the latest to join the list.
I don't believe it. I don't believe any of the information about her.
None of this is going to happen.
Something is going to fall apart, yeah. The Octobomb is getting kicked out. Those of you in the neighborhood no longer have to put up with her. Supposedly, the guy who owns the note to her home is now threatening to throw her out if she doesn't pay her massive debt, but she does have a full 3 days to do it.
Okay.
How did she get this house? I can't remember.
Church, right?
It was a dude that owned it in a church, I think. It was a donation, but...
But at some point, they expected some kind of payment.
Or she owes, what was it, $450,000.
Wow.
$450,000
yeah.
in 3 days.
Probably not.
Yeah. I'm guessing probably not, too.
I'm guessing she is one of the few people on Earth who could make $450,000 in 3 days. All she has to do is sign here, take that off there, and she's done.
Well, that's true.
I mean, she's got lots of offers to do porn for huge money.
Yeah.
Call Vivid right now and say $500,000. I'll be there at noon. Ew. And you're off the hook. You got a place to live for you and your 14 kids.
Ew is right.
I know, Oob. I don't want to see it, but a lot of people would.
Ew.
14 kids.
It doesn't seem like Justin Bieber is going away anytime soon. You know what happens with a lot of these little pop stars, you know, they're 14, 15, 16 years old, is at some point they get awkward and they get too old for the teen set and then they're out. They're done, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're not at that point yet with Justin Bieber. Hot off of his appearance on CSI, it looks like now the rumors are he is going to be the host of the revival of Punk'd on MTV. Ashton Kutcher still is going to be behind the camera as executive producer. Punk'd ran for 69 episodes, by the way, over 4 years. It's been off the air since 2007. They still play it every day on MTV. You still can't turn on MTV without seeing Punk'd. But apparently Justin Bieber could be the new host for that. How do you think he'd do? He doesn't seem like a particularly bright kid to me.
But... Ashton Kutcher drove me crazy, too.
Right.
He used to yell. Why was he yelling so much?
I don't know.
I couldn't understand that. We got the game across the street. We're going to take his car. I don't know why he was screaming. Apparently, the sister wives.
Yes.
They,
yes.
Are going to be in the hands of county prosecutors now.
Really?
Sister Wives is a show. It's a polygamy show, basically.
It's on TLC.
And the Utah County Attorney has confirmed that the police department has completed their felony bigamy investigation into Cody Brown and his gigantic family, mm-hmm. especially that one.
Yeah, he's got one big wife.
How does she fit in the roundup? I mean, you have your choice. Mm-hmm. You have 3-4 women.
Maybe she's the one with the personality, or she's the one who can cook, or she's the one who's good with kids.
She works long hours.
The case has been turned over to the Utah County Attorney, who will ultimately decide whether the family will be faced with a crime. They say that it was worth it. Cody Brown's a dude. He said he has 3 wives, a fiance, and 13 children.
Yeah.
He was aware of the risk when he decided to go on TLC, and it was worth it.
We all assumed when we started seeing the press for this show that no one would be dumb enough if they actually were married to multiple partners to go on television. Because you're begging to be put in jail.
Because it's illegal.
And then we all just assumed, well, they say they're married, but it's some sort of civil ceremony. They're all just living together as husband and wives.
That's what I thought.
But you've seen the show, right, Lisa?
Well, I have. I've only seen the first episode.
And what do they say about the marriage issue?
They never addressed where they got married or how they got married, but I know on Big Love, anyway, the husband conducted all the marriage ceremonies himself. So I've always wondered how that's illegal since it's not an actual marriage by the state.
Because that's what I keep expecting to come out is that you looked into it and they found out they weren't legally married with the state. So therefore, any number of partners can live together however they wish, as long as it's not legal.
I hope they are married because this would be one of the biggest bonehead moves in life in history.
Would. That would go down in TV reality history like Richard Hatch winning $1 million on Survivor and then not declaring it on his income taxes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's oh, wait, how did you catch me? Speaking of reality TV, Courtney and Chloe Take Miami was one TV show that was a spinoff of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Now there is a new spinoff, and this one is Courtney and Kim Take New York. It's the exact same show, by the way. They move to a new city and open up a store and get adjusted to living in that town and making it and everything. Chloe is not going to be a part of the new show. She took to her website to explain that it's being shot in New York over the next 6 weeks. She says, I'm a married girl. I just couldn't pick up and move to New York. I'll be in a few episodes here and there. I'm still very much involved in the opening of the store, but I'll have to do it according to my schedule. You know, she's got a husband at home who, you know, obviously sort of lives and works in Los Angeles. So she's going to pass on that. And I just wonder if it has anything to do with that other time she went to New York and she ended up swatting airplanes off the Empire State Building and everybody was shooting at her. I mean, is that the type of thing that would, like, scare her off of the city or what?
I think it could sour you.
Sure.
Oh, I do.
Think so.
Yeah.
Happy birthdays today. The 6th of October, we have actress Elizabeth Shue, 47 years old.
How about that? From Sharktopus, yes. Ladies and gentlemen. Co-star of Sharktopus.
And wasn't she also in
Karate Kid?
Pariah. No.
Piranha 3D. You're right, she was.
She was in Piranha 3D.
I'm sorry, you're right.
Come on, Dave. Come on!
Good for you, and you pulled that out, too,
thank
Kevin.
Thank you, Lisa.
I never thought that would happen.
In that case, that's the one she was in. She wasn't in Sharktopus.
All right, yeah, there you go. Right. It was Piranha 3D.
She was a sheriff.
She used to, during the filming of Karate Kid, party with Rick James every single night.
Really?
Yes.
All right.
Insider information, but very true.
Insider information.
Ooh.
Singer-songwriter Matthew Sweet is 46 years old. Amy Jo Johnson, who was one of the Power Rangers, is 40.
Yeah.
Power Rangers.
I know who that is.
40 years old.
Which one was she, Mike?
Pink.
Oh, nice. My favorite.
My favorite, you just said. Wow, you're scaring me. Actor Jeremy Sisto is 36, but the reason we celebrate, the lead singer of REO Speedwagon. Come on!
Yeah!
Kevin Cronin. What was he always staring at in the clouds? What was up with that guy?
I don't know.
Him. So he always just looked up at the air and the sky and the clouds. Drove me crazy. He's 59 years old today.
Oh, my God.
And that's your
I've got a screenplay. It's 100,000 pages long, but I'm going to get it made.
Got an update with our friend Nick, Kevin and Bean listener Nick, who's been working on a screenplay since he was about 11 and refuses to finish it and refuses to turn it over. At least Kevin had the good sense to walk away from his.
Yeah.
Nick won't give up the dream. He still believes he's going
to
make it.
We spent an entire baseball game, an entire Dodger game, trying to understand his story.
Yes.
His script. The entire thing. And baseball games are 3 hours.
Right.
And we walked away going, don't know.
No idea what that's about.
Right.
It may need some pruning, but we're gonna prompt him in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to get Nick back on, and we're going to say, look, you had a deadline. It's long come and gone. What's going on with your screenplay? The world needs it. You can't sit on gold and not share, right?
Yes.
Well, right. But, okay. But the assumption that it's gold is comedy.
First time for the Kevin and Bean Afro Line. You call us 24/7. We got a voicemail set up just for you at 323-520-AFRO.
Look, doing music is different than doing interviews. Some are good at both. Not all are.
Okay.
This is Trent Reznor. It's great.
What is that?
That's his impression of Trent Reznor.
We had Mr. Reznor on last week, and he's a fascinating guy and very, very smart. He's got a lot of good information to share with the world, but he doesn't dress it up a lot.
Right. No, but you know what's funny, what's weird, that Mike made the observation that he smiles a lot and sort of laughs a lot, but he doesn't do any of it out loud.
Right.
That's
right.
A problem.
So we'll say something and we'll see him smiling, but the audience can't hear it.
Right. So it just sounds like silence.
Yeah. I mean, it really is kind of an odd phenomena, but I love him so much. I love his music so much.
And he is a fascinating guy.
Yeah. He is. I mean, I got nothing bad to say about the dude. I enjoyed having him in very much.
Look, Miss Cleo is gone. There's not a lot we can do about it.
Miss Cleo, I miss you.
Boobs don't go. Don't go. Boobs don't go away. Boobs don't go. Don't go. I'm begging boobs to stay. Yeah.
Is he singing a Casey and the Sunshine Band song from 1980? Is that what just happened on the radio?
I don't know. I didn't recognize it.
I didn't hear
Please
Don't Go, right?
From Casey and the Sunshine Band?
Oh, my God.
Timely.
That is sadder than missing Miss Cleo.
Wow. How about that? Here's a guy who really enjoys being able to call the Afro Line.
Okay, so I picked up this girl at a bar.
Then that's not what this one's about, though.
Okay.
This guy picks up a girl at a bar. It's not the beginning of a joke. It's the beginning of a story that somehow ends with me as the punchline.
Okay, so I picked up this girl at a bar, and she was kind of drunk. And we went back to her place, and she kept slurring her words. So I started saying, what did you do? And I said it so often that she started saying it, too. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's so great. What did you do?
You got to embrace this catchphrase that's sweeping the nation, Kevin. I know you keep trying to push it away, but embrace it. There must be a way you can make money off of it, even.
I went to Las Vegas this past weekend for the Kings Frozen Fury hockey. And every time someone saw me, almost every time, I'd say probably 90% of the time, without exaggerating, the first thing they would say is, what did you do?
And by the way, this might be an outstanding time for me to say, for those of you who have emailed making fun of me for saying, what did you do? Hey, Bede, it's hilarious. Your catchphrase, what did you do? Not me. This one's not me. Sometimes I'm willing to take it, but this one, I'm not going to.
Yeah, and
Kevin owns this one.
We don't even know what this was from. Omar found it in one of the interviews.
What did you do?
And sent it to everybody and said, listen to this. All right, this dude loves calling the Afro Line.
Afro Line, I love you so. Afro Line, make me feel like a bro.
Nope.
Got my big, big toe in the sand. Afro Line makes me the man. Ow!
Is that a song I don't know?
I still
don't
know.
It's a song no one knows.
No one knows, okay. And,
what did you do, Kevin?
All right, let's play. All right with that already. Got it.
What did you do?
Got it. Got it. And finally, it is October, and I try my best to keep this song off.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're wrong.
Because it's bad on every level, but...
Hey, a-hole, play my Halloween spook song immediately. I will drive to wherever you guys are... and kick both of you in the nuts, and possibly Lisa, right in the jug.
Wow.
Play my song, or we're going to have a problem. You got it. Handle it.
Handle it.
Halloween, Halloween, ooh, Halloween.
A little bit concerned to hear about Lisa's nuts, by the way.
Yeah. Ghostly things are going to happen.
What did you do?
Ooh, ah, ooh, ah.
No, sing it if you know it.
Halloween spooks. Outside my window.
No! No!
Halloween spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. And it's Halloween spooks outside my window pane.
You know that a lot of our listeners, Kevin, they look forward to this time of year partly because they get to hear Halloween spooks, which they haven't heard for 11 months. They really enjoy it and look forward to it.
Here's the thing about music. You can get it yourself, and then we don't have to be tortured with these idiots sounding like morons.
What about this part?
How's that a part of it? They're literally gargling. And don't you want to kill the girl?
They're being all spooky and ooky.
That's not either. It's neither of them. What is ooky? That's a good question.
Anyway, thank you for the call, sir. We'll continue to play it a lot for you this month. That is the Kevin Beat Afro Live.
That's so hot.
No, I'm going to get high tonight, though.
No,
I'm
going to
get very high tonight.
Don't do that.
I'm going to get so f***ed up tonight. I'm like mother Tupac!
You're exactly like Mother Effin Tupac. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick, the window licker, back on the Kevin and Bean Show. We haven't talked to him in a couple of months.
Hey.
Hi, Nick. You okay?
I'm great. Morning. I'm super.
Good.
You sound good. Yeah. Nick, when was the last time we talked to you? Wasn't it in the middle of August, maybe? Something like that?
It was. Okay. Yes.
And in the middle of August, we had you on for a very special visit with Nick because you've been working on a screenplay for a couple of years that I know you're very excited about. I know it's going to eventually be a great book and then an even better movie. And we got an extremely generous offer from one of our listeners who is a professional script reader. That's what he does for a living to some of the biggest names in the business. He takes your screenplay, reads it, and decides whether it has potential, needs to be worked on or passed on or green-lighted or whatever else. And at the time... you said, I'm a couple weeks out. I need, you know, we all agreed on a deadline that was going to be the end of August. You're going to have that screenplay turned in. Didn't have to be finished, but it had to be something that this dude could read because he was willing to make the time. Well, now it's the middle of October, Nick.
Well, I don't have something finished, but I do have something he could read.
Okay. Were you going to share that information with us? Or
did we have to bring...
I told you in an email. I have enough material to read.
Do we have to bring him over to your house, though, for that to happen?
I don't know if you want to do it.
But we Nick, don't. That was a rhetorical. It was a joke. We're not bringing him over to your house. You're lucky that he's...
I didn't imply that.
I'm saying you're lucky that he's offering to read it.
Yeah.
That's such an opportunity. So many people want somebody in the business to look at their material. I don't know why you're not calling us every day going, guys, I've got this screenplay. Can we still get it to the guy? I'm dying to see what he thinks.
Well, because I'm still working on it. It's just so, it's hard. It really is hard. It's a hard thing to do. It really is.
I'm not denying that, but we're saying, is it possible that it'll never be done?
It'll be done. It just takes, it takes time, and I do like a regular job too, and, you know, and it's just, and you know, this is going to sound crazy, but a lot of times I just need to feel like, I just need to feel inspiration. I need to be locked in into it, and, you know, just, it's not something I can do just, you know, kind of like half-assed or not really paying half attention to it, you know?
So, in other words, weeks go by where you don't feel it, man. You don't have the inspiration.
Not weeks. Maybe like days, like one or two days, but never, it's never longer than that.
And those are the days that you just get up and eat Cap'n Crunch and smoke out, right?
No, even when I'm not working on it, I'm thinking about it, and you know. But I do have something to show him. If he wants,
you do.
But what? But wait, what? What do you have to show him? Half of it? Do you have the first?
Half of it, yes.
Half of it.
Yes. Would that work? Would it?
No.
Well, I mean, I think you could at least see potential. At least our guy can look at that and go, this is horrible. Please give it up and burn it. Or he can go, hey, you've got some good themes here. You've got some good characters here. But here's where it can be improved. I think that would be useful for everyone, Nick.
But in the first half, it's like I kind of broke it up into two halves. And the first half ends on a cliffhanger. So you know it's going. You know where it's going. Where the second half is going to go by the end of the first half.
Right, but okay. Normally what happens in these situations is you go ahead and finish it, and then they read it, and then they go, hey, this is good or this is bad.
We don't have that kind of time, Kevin.
No, we don't. None of us are going to be doing this job when Nick is done with the screenplay.
I know, but
come
I'm
on.
Saying that the script reader's not going to read half of it. I mean, don't you think that's part of a script reader's job is to go, hey, where's the second half? I need to know how it ends. It's easy to start a movie.
No, you're right.
Anyone can start a movie.
This is special. This is Nick's never done
Vic,
it before.
Nick, whatever
Vic,
his
whoever
name
you
is.
Are.
Right.
And it's a special situation, so I'm sure that our screenwriter dude would be happy to read half of it and
just tell
give
us
him some pointers.
Give us in a sentence or two what it's about, Nick.
So please don't do this. No, please don't do this, Kevin. Come on.
Just pitch, right? Do your pitch. This is like if you could summarize it as.
They all have to do this, Nick.
Right. It's an important part of the skill.
Sexy, violent, R-rated rainforest adventure.
A sexy, violent rainforest
R-rated.
Adventure.
R-rated.
R-rated rainforest.
Rainforest adventure. Well, he did it in one sentence.
So it happens. Yeah, but what does that mean?
I don't know, but he's never done it before.
So it happens in a rainforest.
How can you, like, describe Inception in one sentence? Because it's like
a guy can go into your dreams and
change reality.
What happens.
I know, but there's more to it than that.
There is, yes. But at least you understand what we're saying.
Okay, Nick, we're out of time here. You got? Are you saying, Kevin, we shouldn't give it to screenwriter Ben because it's not finished?
Well, no.
You don't think it's even worth him looking at just to see if there's potential to even go on?
I think that Nick has to show that he can finish it. What good does a first half do?
I'll finish it, okay? I have over 200 pages.
All right, that's all right. Listen, Nick. Nick, over 200 pages is longer than almost every script in Hollywood.
Yeah, but I'm trying to make a book that's going to be that people want to make into a movie. I kind of changed my plan.
What?
Yeah, it's going to be a book. It's going to be a book now. He's writing a book now. He's not writing a
screenplay. I
changed
the plan. I saw, like, Twilight, you know. It was a book, you know. People loved it, you know.
Sure. So you're gonna write a book first, and then that's gonna be a runaway bestseller, and then they will ask you to do the treatment for the screen.
I did that because, like, you know, if you have a script, and you know,
what happens in the rainforest?
Push you around.
Please don't ask Kevin.
What happens in the rainforest?
We don't have time for what happens in the rainforest. Nick.
Just summarize what happens in the rainforest.
It's sexy and magical, and you know, and there's more than it appears on the surface.
Okay, but what happens?
What happens?
It's sexy and magical. Doesn't tell me much. Is there a fight between good and evil?
Yes, this is evil. Of course.
Of course.
Come on, Kevin.
Sorry.
Don't be a dumbass. Look, in 200 pages, everything you can imagine probably happens.
Can I get this straight? So that means. Since we found someone who could actually read a script,
yes,
a screenplay,
does it professionally.
You changed your mind and decided to write a book.
No. I changed my mind to write a book last year in 2009.
All right, let me ask you this question. Are you any further along than you were 11 weeks ago when we talked to the reader?
Yes, but not finished yet. But okay. Further along.
But
how long till you finish, Nick?
I honestly can't say. I'm trying to get it done like November, you know, sometime. And then I tried
November 2012.
It never works. It's just, it has to, you know, I can't put a serious deadline on it. I do have something to show, and, you know, if he wants to read it, that would be really, really cool. It really works.
How is it a guy like Aaron Sorkin, who's so busy, is able to finish a script on deadline, and you're not? He's got more going on than you do.
Dude, you can't put deadlines on art, Bean.
But when they say, "Hey, you got to turn in your," when they say you got to turn in your social network script, he turns in his social network script because other people waiting for him.
But Bean, people do take years to write books.
It's true.
Well, that is true.
They do take time. Quentin Tarantino takes years. And look how, and his stuff is good.
Right, but he's finished something. He's finished a thing.
This will get finished. I promise you, I am 1,000,000,000% certain it will
Nick,
get finished. That I am not worried about.
Nick, you're right. Quentin Tarantino does take forever to write scripts now. But do you know what he would have done back in the day to get Reservoir Dogs in the hands of an established screenwriter?
Anything?
He would have done anything.
He would have finished it.
He was going around the valley. He was going around the valley, begging for investors, giving that script to everybody he could think of.
Would he? Would he have offered half of it to someone? Would that have happened?
Well, look, half of it is something to read, though.
Right.
It is.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And at least,
all right. My objection here, Bean, so that you know too, is that anyone can start a movie. It's the it's the ending that makes it so difficult. A lot of movies start great.
I do know my ending. It's like that's another thing writers have. Sometimes they don't know what their ending, but I know what my ending is.
Okay.
Maybe you should write that down.
All right. If you'd wrote it down, then you'd have the end of the story.
Well, I had it written down. I have like the 2008 All right. version of it written down.
Okay.
2008 All right. Version. We're out of time, and I'm growing weary. We can ask Ben to see if he wants to read half or if that's a waste of everybody's time. But, Nick, I'm telling you, put down the blunt and seriously start typing, dude.
The blunts help. So
yeah, sure.
Start it all out.
Start typing.
Out.
That's what champions do, okay, Nick?
Absolutely.
All right, we'll talk to you in 2011.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It's Wednesday. Funny man Bill Burr joins us in a few minutes. Great guy. Always look forward to him coming in. Very, very funny. First, though, you guys ready for a little Bean's Death Corner?
Hey, everybody. Gather all the kiddies around the radio. It's time for Bean's Death Corner.
Bean loves death any time of day. He gets all giddy and screams hooray.
There's something wrong in his head.
Death. We don't know what's wrong with Bean, but now you'll get to see what we mean.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
I love death.
The good news is we'll never, ever run out of stories for Bean's Death Corner. I mean, if there is any constant in life, it's that people die, and sometimes in humorous ways and with interesting backstories. I love this one. It actually happened back in 2008, but they were just sentenced in court this week down in South Africa. Two former policemen got involved in a bar fight in Durban, South Africa, where they were arguing with other patrons about whose penis was bigger. Now,
right.
Oh, no.
That is a delicate topic for anyone, and you don't actually expect guns to be drawn, but one of the former cops, Leon Stephen, was sentenced to 90 years in jail. His brother was sentenced to 115 years in jail. They killed four people.
But not each other?
Not each other. They were five. Maybe they were on the same side. Maybe they agreed with the penis length controversy. But
isn't there a way to solve that if you really, really, really want to know?
Well, they didn't have a tape measure. They just had guns.
They didn't have big enough tape measures to work in Africa. That's the problem.
But four men aged 32, 47, 41, and 57 were all gunned down in Merseyside Pub in Umbilo, South Africa. My favorite part about the story, by the way, is this has been a big story in South Africa. It's been big in the news until the sentencing this week, and they have been known as the penis-sized murderers. That has been their nickname. Which is not necessarily something you want now. Here's a tragic story about a terrible, terrible thing that happened to a Staten Island couple. Of course, that is one of the boroughs of New York City. Their 17-year-old son was killed in a car accident a couple of years ago, and they buried him like they do. 3 months later, his classmates were taking a field trip to the medical examiner's office, and they saw the boy's brain in a jar.
Oh, no.
Labeled with his name and case number.
That's a terrible idea.
It is a terrible idea. Now, So they, you know, call other family members, you know, from the dead boy, and they say, "Hey, what's going on? Your brother's brain is in a jar here." And his parents didn't know anything about it. I mean, they had already buried him.
Oh. Wow.
They were never told that his brain was removed. He was autopsied, but they decided to keep the brain for further study. And apparently what they do in Staten Island, and I'm not joking about this, is they have a guy who comes out from another part of New York, and he doesn't come out every time there's a brain to examine, because it's apparently a long trip and he's very busy. They wait until they get 6 or 8 brains lined up, and then he comes out and does them all in one day.
He takes them all?
He comes out and investigates them and, you know, checks them out all in one day. So his brain was just going to sit there for months and months and months, and the family was never told about it.
Because the dude was busy. What did they want from him?
How's that for a bad surprise when you find out that your son, who, you know, it's already tragic enough that he died in a car accident as a teenager, you buried him without a brain and nobody told you?
Yeah, that's not good.
So it is in the news again this week because they are, of course, suing everyone associated with the medical examiner's office for, hey, how about a little heads up if you took my boy's brain?
Heads up. Nice.
No pun intended. Didn't mean that. But anyway, so they dug the kid up and put the brain back in and reburied it. I mean, the whole thing is very ugly. And it sounds to me like there's definitely the makings of a Halloween movie. I mean, seriously, shouldn't we see this in theaters this time next year?
Look,
it's a creepy, crazy story.
Shouldn't happen, but do you need to dig him back up and put it back in?
I mean, you don't.
At this point, he's not going to use it.
Right.
I don't think so either. And
maybe you just put it in a little box and bury it beside him.
There are some people who are people have very weird thoughts about burial. And there are people who very much believe that you have to be all put together. Look, we had the story earlier this week about actor Tony Curtis who got buried with a bunch of stuff, including his iPhone. I mean, people have weird things about burial.
And people don't want to donate organs because they don't want the bodies to be cut up, even though...
Yeah, very, very weird story. But seriously, you don't ever want to see your son's brain in a jar. I know that is true.
No, there, you can't argue that.
And finally, this one out of Santa Ana, California. Another tragic, tragic story. But how can they not be? Because it is, in fact, Bean's Death Corner. This is two nursing home roommates. He's 81. His roommate, 94. The younger man murdered the older man.
The 81-year-old?
The 81-year-old, now charged with murdering his 94-year-old roommate. They were living together at a Southern California rehabilitation center where they were recovering from their respective hip surgeries. Yes. Apparently, the man refused to stop singing in Vietnamese. Now, look, I never condone murdering a guy just because he's noisy. But if you've heard Vietnamese, I mean, right? Who's with me?
Man.
The 81-year-old took a metal rod from the closet and hit the 94-year-old multiple times in the head, and that's what killed him.
Aww.
So now he's arrested for murder, is in jail, and being held on $1 million bail. But seriously, you guys have heard Vietnamese, right? That's a BS language.
Some in the bush. Some languages are rougher for Americans to listen to, and that is one of them.
That is one, I have to admit.
It is not particularly pleasing to the ear.
No.
And that is Bean's Death Corner.
That was Bean's Death Corner.
Oh, Bean loves death. Oh, Bean loves death.
Oh, Bean loves death so much.
Producer Alex, hi.
Hi, good morning.
Big improvement over looking at Ralph Garman. Thank you for coming in. Time for the show biz beat now, and you got a little something for the people.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I smell better, too. All right, we have a giveaway today. The only thing we really care about is Jackass 3D.
Yeah.
Oh. It has taken over our lives.
Please tell me that's coming out today.
This is all we care about. It's the only way I get to see Bam Margera. I have 10 winners are going to get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Jackass 3D on Wednesday, October 13th. It's going to be in theaters Friday, October 15th.
So that's a week from today you get to go, and then
Correct.
It's a week from Friday. It's
first 5 callers to chip, please. 1-800-520-1067. Get it on!
Didn't Bam recently separate from his wife? Aren't they divorced? Isn't he single now, Alex?
I heard that rumor as well. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But
just saying, you might have your eyes on him. He's coming to town, right?
Next week, we actually have confirmed in studio, Steve-O, Johnny Knoxville, Wee Man, still working on Bam.
All right.
It's going to be a little Jackass party next week in here.
Love it.
How about that? By the way, speaking of people on the show, and I don't want to bite into your time here, Edward Norton on the Mother F and Kevin and Bean show
that's
tomorrow.
That's right. Who did that? You're welcome.
Edward Norton.
Wow.
Okay, let's
How'd
talk about happen? One of the Listen. Best actors ever. And then an actual Sex Pistol on Friday's show. Steve Jones will be here Friday. How about that for looking ahead toward the end of the week?
I am classing up this joint.
Wow.
This company is coming over. We're using the good china. I want you to wear pants.
When these people realize where they're going, they're going to change their minds quick.
Be on your best behavior. Russell Brand. Who I love as well. Is marrying Katy Perry. And I know you guys hate that, but I think they're an awesome couple. He is releasing his second book to his first book called My Bookie Wookie. This is called
hilarious, by the way.
My Bookie Wookie 2. This time it's personal.
Yeah.
Huge New York Times bestseller, by the way. He was doing an interview with Jonathan Ross over on the BBC, who's like their Oprah, but not as bad. And he claimed that he can't wait for Katy Perry to get pregnant.
Oh, hey, no, no, no.
So,
Whoa.
He can drink her breast milk. Duh.
Oh.
That's a terrible idea.
I don't blame him for wanting to do that. But
Russell Brand told Jonathan Ross's audience a story about a former girlfriend who used to let him drink her breast milk. And then I guess he told that story to Katy Perry, and she said, oh, I wouldn't mind.
So he wasn't just joking?
No.
All right.
Get a little protein shake in the morning.
All right.
Okay. Wait, I need a minute. by the way, the Russell Brand book that Alex mentions, Bookie Wookie, was great. You read it too, Kevin. It was such a funny book. Such a good read. And it ended as he began to get famous. So the stories have got to be way crazier now for book number two.
I'm so excited. Kevin, your favorite movie of all time, The Hangover?
Yep.
Is getting a sequel, Hangover 2.
Fantastic.
They've now released some more information on who's going to be in it and where it's going to take place.
Fantastic.
Because that was the big sort of rumor, is how could they top this crazy Las Vegas? Well, according to Empire Magazine, the production on the follow-up is going to begin later this month, and director Todd Phillips says that his party boys are headed to Bangkok.
Oh my God. I was afraid they would do something super lame like Atlantic City or someplace worse than Vegas.
Well, and it gets better.
Bangkok.
Todd Phillips.
Or Anal City?
Let everybody know.
Oh, F you so much.
Let everybody know that the fellas, and by the fellas I mean Bradley Cooper, Ed Helms, Justin Bartha, and Zach Galifianakis, are going to encounter one of their nemesis from the first movie, Mr. Chow.
Love
Ken
it.
Jung.
Oh, fantastic.
Well, he's the guy that jumped out of the trunk naked.
Hey. I didn't need to see that penis.
That was
yet
the
it was
best.
Great. So that's going to be exciting.
Right. Bangkok.
Bangkok.
Yes.
Dave Grohl has too much time on his hands and needs to finish the album for the new Foo Fighters and get on the road.
Is he Nick?
Well, he apparently is involved in a fake lawsuit with the Scissor Sisters.
Fake lawsuit?
He apparently, you know, Dave Grohl loves a good joke, so he's involved in a fake lawsuit with the Scissor Sisters, where he's jokingly suing the band for emotional distress after singer Jake Shears exposed one of his testicles at a recent gig. Dave Grohl made this video with the band and put it in a special edition of their Sister Scissors News, and you can watch it at sistersisters.com. And
he's only suing for $75 million,
just
though, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's worth it.
That's it.
I think.
Why have two Kardashian shows when you can have one too many? Kim and Courtney are going to take over New York new show on E!
But isn't this really cutting out the fat, so to speak?
Because there's no Chloe?
They're two hot ones.
Scott Disick is going to be there, and so he's about as annoying as it can get. But starring the two eldest Kardashian sisters, Courtney and Kim Take New York, will debut on E! In January 2011. There's already Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Mm-hmm.
Then Courtney and Chloe Take Miami. Courtney blogged on Monday, Mason, Kim, Scott, and I arrived in New York City, so excited for some fall in the Big Apple, no place better. Courtney has a 10-month-old son, Mason, with her douche, Scott Disick.
Yeah.
And the good news is they want a second baby.
Oh, good.
So they're trying for numero dos.
Good, because that'll fix everything.
Are you kidding?
Not at all. I unfortunately saw a clip of her describing to Kim how it feels to have sex after you have a baby.
Ooh.
And Kim said, why are you trying so soon? She's like, well, we want a second one.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's good times right there. Happy birthday to Elizabeth Shue. Matthew Sweet, the pink Power Ranger, Amy Jo Johnson, and Jeremy Sisto, who I find oddly attractive. Call me. I am Alex. That is your Showbiz Beat.
Hey, when people say they rescued a dog, that annoys the out of me.
She's a rescue. Yeah, I rescued her.
Really? Did you pull her out of a burning building? Or did you just go down to the pound and get a free dog, you cheap? Isn't that what you did? I love when people say that. Oh, that's why I draw the line. He drew a line, everybody. Whatever you do, don't cross his line. Everybody's worried about his image. Brace it. Just become like the bad boy of golf. Show up, I wouldn't even wear a shirt. You know, come out dressed like Ric Flair, some bedazzled. Have like a whore for a caddy. Ah, this is why I don't get laid after my shows, people. This is it right here.
Mr. Bill Burr.
Yeah.
He is back with a brand new DVD in stores and available for download now called Let It Go. New comedy at the historic Fillmore Theater in San Francisco. Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Burr joining us back here on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, Bill?
What's going on, guys? How are you?
Good, thank you.
Good to see you. You know, you walked in. It's funny. The very first thing we all thought is, does he still have the girlfriend? Does he still have the dog? How stable is your home life? Or is everything all right for you, Bill?
Everything is cool. Everything, which is bad for comedy, but great for the personal life. Things going on. Yeah, it's going great, you know. Rented a movie last night. Watched the movie without incident.
All right.
That was close to having a fight. She watches that show, Bad Girls.
Oh,
my God. Just watching that. Like 19 girls throw like exaggerated hissy fits for the cameras.
Yeah, for an
hour. Every other word is bitch.
Yeah.
You know, come over here, bitch. What's up, bitch? Bitch. It's just like, oh, kill yourselves.
That's the Bad Girls Club, right?
Is that what it is?
I'm ashamed
I
know that.
I don't know what it is.
I think that's it.
Mike told me about it.
10 whores in a house screeching is what I would have called it.
I haven't seen that one, but it does seem like the trend in reality TV is find the worst people in the world and make them famous.
Sure.
Yeah, feed them booze. They heat booze on the set on a lot of those shows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't do what they want them to do. I got another 10 whores outside willing to do it. Whore it up.
Terrific. What about the Jersey Shore? What about that, Bill? What do you make of those guys making $5 to $10 million this year, some of them, from being on
insane.
That show?
I got to admit, I got hooked into the show. I haven't gotten into the second season, but the first season,
really?
I watched it. And I remember I was talking on my podcast. The second I saw it and that dude explained why he was called The Situation,
right.
I was on my podcast going, this show is going to be a juggernaut. There's no way, because it was already a YouTube clip before The Jersey Shore. I think it was just called The Jersey Shore, and people were just down there filming people. And it was just, you know, it was a nightmare. And I don't know.
But now they're like A-listers.
Yes.
All of them. All
right. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've been doing stand-up 18 years.
And they're making more money than you this year.
Yeah, and you sit there on the wings waiting to do stand-up, put the gun to your head. Most people aren't even going to see it unless you fail miserably. Then it'll be stand-up fail, OMG, 9 million hits.
LOL.
And, yeah, you're just sitting there, and then you're waiting to go on after, like, you know... Like Paris Hilton, I've gone out after, and the winner of Big Brother Part 2. And they're doing panel like they have a movie coming out. So you've always been a douchebag? Well, you know, I kind of came into my own in the third grade. It's like, what do you talk to these people about? I actually feel bad for the host, but that's kind of where we're at.
We had the situation on the phone, and we asked him if he ever got any negative response from his show at all, from anyone anywhere. He said, nope, not a bit.
Ah, genius.
It's all positive.
Genius. He knows how to play. Some people are just born knowing how to play the game.
Yeah, that's
true. He just
true.
Comes, everything's awesome.
Yeah.
Everybody loves us. Want to see my abs through the phone? Let's just keep the plate spinning. Well, good for them. They made their money. Good for them.
So you are still on the road all the time, crisscrossing this great land of ours?
Yeah, it's how I get food and pay the rent. So I go out every other week. I have a nice, relaxed schedule. It's been a little
crazy. Oh, that's all right.
It's been a little crazy now that the DVD and everything is coming out. So I've had to do a lot of radio, a lot of back-to-back gigs and that type of things. But it's been really fun, and I've got a great response, much like The Situation.
Sure.
I've pretty much gotten all good reviews, as far as I know.
I saw Let It Go last night, and it was funny as hell.
Well, thank you.
It's funny as hell. You should get it. I like your pro swine flu stance. I think that's good.
Oh, really?
Cool.
That surprises me
it's
a little
really
bit.
The old
like, is that weird?
You don't hear a lot of people saying that I like it.
Yeah.
I want it to
we
get
need,
to
like Mother Nature keeps trying to help us with plagues. You know?
To
thin
the
herd and get rid of the weak and all that type of stuff.
Right.
And we keep coming up with vaccinations. And that's why the 405 looks like it does at 1 in the
that's
afternoon.
A good point.
If the swine flu would just take half of us out, the rest of us would
I
be
think
pretty
you need,
happy.
You need a little more.
A little more than half.
That would still be 3.5 billion.
Yeah, you're right.
You need like, seriously, you need like a beatdown. Like Mother Nature really. There has to be like a virus and like a math test. And whoever survives.
It's going to be a tough world when you're running things, Bill.
Yes, I'm not going to make it. You think I'm going to make the cut? I'm not. I get sick all the time. I've been on planes too much. My immune system's way down.
You are at least a very prolific comic. That's one thing about you. Because a lot of guys, they put the act out on DVD. They're sunk. Now they got to start over from scratch. You can't go out and do all that stuff you just did on the DVD, right?
Oh, yeah. No. The second you say thank you, good night on a special, they tip over the hourglass, basically.
Wow.
And you have that amount of time to come up with, you know, 45, 50 minutes, which you can do. The sheer panic of standing on stage and everyone knows your act. Like, dude, I already heard that. Sucks. Rip off. Just the fear of that. We'll make you write another hour.
But people don't say that often, do they? I mean, do they say
no,
that?
No, not to me, because okay. I always write. I always stay. That's the kiss of death. If they see you on TV and then come out and see you live and you do the exact same thing, there's no they feel there's no reason, generally speaking. Then there's other people who have, like, those jokes that are almost like hit songs.
Right, yeah. Where they have to tell them.
Yeah, and people actually get upset that they don't tell them.
And you don't have any of those?
No, I've never been a one-hit wonder. I haven't had a hit yet. No, people do yell. They like the punch in the muffins. Is that pesto? What else?
Do you do it when they yell it?
You know what? I did it for the first time. I was working the Egg in Albany, and somebody yelled, "Come on, do the muffin thing." And I was, "All right, what the hell? I'll do it." And my thing is, I dumped the material, and then I never do it again, so I couldn't remember how it went.
Oh, good.
Did they help you?
Yeah, they helped me a little bit. They sort of laughed. It was like watching a baby take its first steps. So even though I fell on my face, it was still like, that was so good. That was so good.
Nice try.
Yeah, I reached out for the coffee table, missed, landed square in my face.
Bill, because you are a tough guy, and in your face, East Coast a-hole, do you get an inordinate amount of...
I love how he always has, like, passive-aggressive sort
of... It's kind of a backhand.
Yeah. Your prolific, horrible work has just been just something that I've run
horrible.
From.
No.
Yet cannot look away.
No, but what you don't know is he loves a-holes.
So that's a compliment. Yeah, and I'm not a tough guy either. I really haven't had a fight
outside.
But you
come across as a tough guy, though, is what I'm saying.
That's the accent. That's totally the accent. This is just how people talk. I also come off like I'm always in a bad mood. Like people always, are you okay? I'm like, dude, I'm fine. But that sounds angry. I have to get that Midwest, you know, hey, Bob, let's go down to the pond and sit on the box. You know, that sort of, you just sort of nod as you tack.
Hey, speaking of annoying exes, did you see The Town? Have you seen that movie yet?
No, I haven't. I heard it's
those
phenomenal.
Are your people, though. Yeah, I hear it's phenomenal,
see how
too.
He did that?
Great.
Speaking of annoying accents, speaking of douchebags.
Did you see The Town?
Yeah.
My question, if you can remember back that far, was because
you know
of
what?
The
it
persona...
was really forgettable, yet I couldn't stop listening. Yeah. I'm just going to start doing it back to you,
yeah,
baby.
I like it.
Do you have hecklers because, or are people afraid to heckle you because they know you'll come back at them both barrels?
No. There's nothing more courageous than a couple of beers. That'll just fill you up. That's the real spinach. You remember Popeye? He'd eat the spinach and it's alcohol. Alcohol will make you, like me, I went to the Bills Jets game last week.
Oh, really?
Weekend. Yeah, and I wore a Patriots hat. It's a Bills Jets game.
Wow.
I didn't think there would be a problem. They actually bonded. Bills fans and Jets fans, I'm going into the men's room, and they started giving me a rough time. And for some reason, I felt like I was on stage. It was probably because I had a couple of beers. I wasn't thinking, I don't know how to fight.
Right.
One-on-one. Forget about multiple attackers. And by the time...
With your pants down.
No, by the time I got up to the urinal, I was like, hey, I'm sorry you never won a Super Bowl. All right? And then people were like, whoa. It's just like, dude, I'm not even playing you guys. I bet on you guys to beat the Jets. How about a little D? Right? And then the Jets fans were giving me a rough time, and I always hit them with this one. I go, do you realize the last time you won a Super Bowl, Charlie Chaplin was still alive?
Oh.
Do you understand that? So basically, then I go up to relieve myself, and somebody pushed me from behind. One of the bitchiest moves of all time. So fortunately, I hadn't started going yet. And I turned around, put myself away because I'm a gentleman. I turned around and I literally said, "Who pushed me? Is that how you guys do it out here?" As if I was going to do something.
Yeah, what were you going to do?
And I was standing there too. The best thing is I went to Dick's before the show because it was raining out, and I bought this purple on purple, like Barney the dinosaur looking thing. And I was standing there in that. Questioning five guys, looking them all in the eye like I was actually going to do something, and none of them said anything.
If one person would have stepped up,
it would have been over.
What would you?
Been sucked, I would have been pounded into the tile. But I was like the World Series of Poker. I had nothing. I completely bluffed, and they backed down. I think the reality was everybody had a job, and it's like, hey, you know, do I really want to go to work?
Right.
You know, the next day, getting bailed out of jail after stomping this redhead into the toilet.
If they had killed you, God forbid, but if you had died, imagine what it would have done for the sales of your DVD. Let It Go would have been flying off the shelves if you were dead.
Totally would have. And you guys would have said, and you actually maybe would have actually just given me a compliment with that little backhand. It would have been awesome.
He can't do
it. It's not my kind of humor, but if you like Bill Burr, Let It Go is on DVD and available for download on iTunes. Is it on iTunes? Is that where, can people get it
there
as well?
It's on iTunes. Yeah. It's on Amazon. Bean.com. It's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
You can get the digital copy of it, or you can get the actual hard copy, which I think you should get because it's like having the gold behind your money. You know what I mean? Now that you use everything digital, and then your laptop falls in a bathtub or something, and then you lose your entire record collection.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right. More with our guest Bill Burr right after this on the Kevin and Bean. Comedian Bill Burr in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let It Go is his latest comedy special. It's available everywhere, live and uncut, I see, by the way. Now, a version of this aired on the TV, right? Am I right about that?
Yes, absolutely.
Because I have it on my TiVo still.
Yeah, and that is a watered-down version, which is why the DVD, because of commercials, they had to take out two huge chunks. And one of them was about banking and them trying to microchip us, and the other one was making fun of those automated checkout lines where they make you work for the company for free. So I thought it was really interesting that they took those two out, yet the bit about me thinking about committing suicide every once in a while, they were just like, that's fine. That's fine. Funny. This guy wants to off himself. Does that affect our profits on any log? Yeah, let's leave that in. That's fine.
By the way, those self-checkout lines, and we have it in my supermarket here on the island. I can't imagine in a million years why I would ever want to go through that line and do all the work myself. And I'm stunned every single time I go that there are people in that line. And it always appears to me as if it's taken them way longer to check out than it's taken me to have a pro do it.
Yeah, that's because you're standing behind a plumber. And everybody goes, I think they're easy. It's easier. It's like, how is it easier than standing there doing nothing while two people do it for you?
Because you have to stand there longer.
Yeah.
Like, I stand at Home Depot. That's where they have them where I live. And stand there in the line, and then I look over and I go, wow, sure looks faster. Sure does look like that would be faster.
Especially if you're running in for a couple of things, you can just zip through.
I don't, because it won't read it or something.
Yeah, put two more Americans in the bread line. There you go. That's going to help us out. That'll be fantastic. You know, like, hopefully they'll have automated soup lines for you guys. Yeah. Keep choosing the side of the robots.
Look,
you don't have a dog in this fight.
Look, I'm saying I didn't go, but it sure looked enticing. It sure looked like it would be
quicker.
Of course
it does, and under the whole guise, you're going to get an extra dime off their bootleg version of Fruit Loops. You know, do you really think that they're sitting around going, how can we make less money and save the customer more money? All that stuff, when those little save cards that they give you.
Right, right.
They're creating a file on you, this creepy what-you-buy file.
That is true.
Oh, I don't ever want to see that.
Yeah,
I mean, really, that would be embarrassing.
Yeah, I don't know why people are, I don't know, just the level of stuff that corporations can get away. I'm sort of semi-following that Lord of the Rings lawsuit, and it's just unbelievable.
What is that? I don't know what that is.
They basically bought the rights to the book, and they were supposed to give to the estate. Of, you know, I forget the name of the author.
Tolkien?
Yeah, they were supposed to give the estate 7.5% of the profits, and they just never paid them.
Wow.
Because they go, we didn't make
we
any
didn't make money.
Yeah,
we
had to spend $900 million on Whiteout.
Yeah.
There was,
it's unbelievable.
These cubicles nowadays, it's just ridiculous how expensive they are, and they just write off like $6 billion, and they just never paid them.
Wow.
And then I think they declared bankruptcy. Wrote themselves severance checks. I have no. This is all alleged here. I'm going to get myself sued, and they just left.
Wow,
the
that
thing
is amazing.
With Forrest Gump, right? Isn't that
yes.
the movie where they said we didn't make any money? It's like, are you kidding me?
That's I guess it's called Hollywood Math. It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's just creative bookkeeping.
Yeah, that'll happen on my DVD sales. Like, you know,
it sold a lot.
We're still not in profit.
I don't know
what happened.
Bill Burr is here, by the way, and he's going to be sticking around for just a few more minutes here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And I got this email from, there's no name. Yahoo is, I guess, his name. You talk to Bill Burr during the finals. Don't forget, guys, make sure you remind his ass who the champions are. I don't think we need to remind Bill Burr, who's an actual Celtics fan, who the champions are. But are you excited about the new season? How do you feel as preseason begins right now?
I got to admit, I'm not. I don't like that basketball's going the direction the same reason why I don't watch baseball anymore. I just don't like when all the stars pile on like three different teams.
Yeah, that kind of bugs me too.
Yeah, and then you have these big juggernaut teams that go at each other, which I guess is kind of cool. But in the end, you don't get to see that guy who led his team to a championship. Put him on my back. Here we go. Now it's just like when you have that level of – like when you look at the Miami Heat, the three big guys they have, it's just like why wouldn't you win a championship? You look at like the Lakers. You look at the Celtics. I don't know what the hell the Celtics are doing. It's like we're old and often injured. Let's get an old and often injured player and stick him on the bench. I think. I mean, I can see the chemistry of that. Yeah, my foot hurts too. Like they can really bond quickly. But
you're suggesting maybe some young, healthy players with some years ahead of them may have been a better direction for the Celtics to go.
Yeah, yeah. I think the next big star is that Kevin Durant guy. I watched that last whatever.
From the Thunder. Yeah.
He's amazing.
Yeah, whatever that tournament that we played. I was stuck on an airplane. It was the only channel that could come in, so I'm watching us play.
It was a U.S. team?
Yeah, playing Spain or something like that.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. World Championship of basketball?
We were playing Turkey. And they were killing him. It was great. You know, everybody hates America now. So we were in their country, in their building. And they couldn't stand us. And we were just dunking on them. Like I say we when I can't even touch the net. We were dunking on them.
Hey, they're from our country. They represent you and I.
Yeah. Sure. So, I don't know. I don't know. It's very hard to do three in a row, but the Lakers have done it a number of times. But, I mean, they are the most successful franchise in the last 30 years. I mean, it's undeniable. So
here's the thing about Bill Burr, and that's where this email. We talked to several Boston fans last year during the playoffs. You were by far the coolest.
Yeah.
Everybody else predicts about
it. Well, if I'm sober, I'm cool. You get me drunk in a bathroom at a Rich Stadium, whatever the hell it was in.
The Bills.
Buffalo, yeah. I'm not so cool.
All right, Bill Burr is here. The DVD is Let It Go. It's available now. We'll be right back.
Bill Burr in studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show today. Very, very funny comedian who, by the way, I don't know if we've thanked you officially, but who was part of our April Foolishness lineup earlier in the year, the 2010 edition, who killed that night and helped us raise a ton of great money for charity. So thank you for that, Bill. His latest is called Let It Go. Available online and in stores everywhere. A hilarious set at the Fillmore in San Francisco. By the way, if you can't get enough of Mr. Burr, he also is going to be the guest on Psycho Mike and Dr. Drew's Love Line tonight, the nationally syndicated Love Line
show.
Wait
till you take some of those calls.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm 11 and I have a stud through my penis and I need to know what the...
You go, what?
Hey, whoa, slow down. It's really scary.
Yeah, that show is exhilarating and also very sad.
It is. Yet informative. It's just every time you want to, you just like, oh, my God, I can't listen to this. Oh, I didn't know that.
Bill, are you doing anything with perhaps the craziest lineup of political candidates in the history of this country for 2010? Because of the Tea Party people, the non-professional politicians, which, by the way, I think this country needs a lot more of non-professional politicians. But because of some of the crazy people like the witch up there in Delaware and whatnot, it is so bizarre. Are you covering any of that in your act these days?
I just kind of tapped out. It was too depressing. The fact that that girl from Alaska, whatever the hell
Sarah
her name
Palin.
Is, yeah, it's just like it. That was pathetic.
That put you off of politics for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it was just like, you know, I understood everyone who was running, but I don't turn it into like. I don't think that, like, seriously, like the president should be going on like the Tonight Show or like Letterman. It's like, can you keep it like? Can you hold it aloft a little
bit?
What
about The View? President Obama went on The View, for God's sake.
Yeah, I mean, they're like, well, you got to go where the people go. The morons? You think those people vote? This is when I get my emails. I watch The View every day, and I want you to know. I even vote in local. Ah, shut up.
You get that
You have
from
no
Bean.
Proof. I get that all the time. People. Yeah.
What about in your state of California, which the rest of us around the country look at, and we just can't believe it's real out there. Meg Whitman spends $120 million of her own money to try to be governor. That's insane, right?
Oh, I just came out of New York. Bloomberg has so much money. He went around, I think, was it the Constitution? I mean, what basically says you can't have a third term? And he just pulled out his wallet.
Did he really?
What if I give you this? Nah, man, we can't. How about this? Listen, come on, man. You put me in an awkward situation. How about this? Huh? What if I brought these ladies in and they did that? All right. Third term. You got it, buddy.
You can do it.
If he can pull that off, I'm voting for it. That's pretty impressive. Well, it is. It's a bizarre and crazy crop. And you know, and Kevin hates politics as much as anybody I know.
I hate it all.
And you know that a month from now, after we're done with this election, you know that it's nonstop full bore 2012. You know that the presidential election has begun, right?
Here's what I don't like. Both sides are lying.
That's why I don't.
A lot.
I always vote for the guy who everyone says is crazy. Like Ron Paul. It's like these corporations are out of control. We need to audit the Federal Reserve. We got to get rid of it. We got to get the government back to printing its own money and everything. He's, you know, this guy's nuts. Guy's crazy. And then the other people are just like, they just say, they all give you lip service. We got to get this country back to work.
Right.
And everybody, losing their minds.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't see any difference between Democrats or Republicans at the presidential level. Like, I don't think Obama's foreign policy, how much different is it than what McCain would have done? I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Next to none.
Yeah.
Next to none. Or what George Bush did, by the way. Not much change there either.
Yeah, I think
what the president's done.
I think with that whole NAFTA thing, when your whole, you know, factories, all your industry leaves the country, we have limited ways to make money.
That seems bad.
And evidently,
at least George Bush was entertaining. Come on. He'd screw up a speech every now and then.
He was prolific.
That was good times.
He was prolific, that guy. That was some of the easiest comedy writing you ever did.
A lot of comedians missed the president, yes.
No, that whole stretch between Clinton with Monica Lewinsky right through George Bush's last
day.
It was incredible, man.
Yeah. Yeah,
those were the golden age of making fun of presidents was the end of Clinton right through Bush.
All right, I want to change topics for a second because I want to ask you something about Boston sports.
Okay.
And that is, where did Neil Diamond's Sweet Caroline come from, for God's sakes? And
why? Came from the devil.
Please help me with that.
It's made me become less of a Red Sox fan. I have to shut the game off.
The first time I ever saw it was a hockey game. It was the outdoor hockey game. And the Bruins were playing, I don't know, Philadelphia or something.
Oh, yeah.
And they came out and they started singing Sweet Caroline. I was like, what does a Neil Diamond song from what, late 60s, have to do with sports?
I have no idea, but it needs to stop.
It just needs to stop.
It's a pink Red Sox hat. You know, they do that with every team now. They have, like, the chick hat.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I want to go to the game, but I still want to look hot. I want to look cute. Those girls who are into sports, they show up, they'll dress like they're going to Hooters with
a
jersey tied off on the back.
Kevin is suggesting, though, that it started in Boston and now it has spread. And
you saw
it in Las Vegas this weekend,
right? I went to a hockey game in Las Vegas this weekend. They played Sweet Caroline. I thought, this needs... Sweet Caroline from Neil Diamond is the vuvuzelas of sports. Like, everybody said, hey, that's great, Africa. You can have your vuvuzelas. We're not going to do that here. And they put guards at the doors and didn't let them come in.
It's
so let Boston have Sweet Caroline.
But there's a silent protest beginning against
there
it.
Is.
Like,
good.
At the Red
Sox. Good.
Like, people will sit down. They won't do it. And I want to fly back specifically to a home game and just trash people.
I'm so glad to hear that. I don't understand it. I don't know how it got started, but I know it got started in Boston.
You know what it
is?
Was
it Red Sox?
It's everybody's been talking on cell phones for 15 years. Our brains are turning to mush. And there's just something about rocking with other human beings going, bah, bah, bah. It just sort of it makes you feel like everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
But there are a million other songs that would make more sense than Sweet Caroline.
Yes,
it just doesn't
make.
And my initial reaction was, okay, it's time to kill Neil Diamond. And then I realized you can't kill Neil Diamond, first of all, because that would be wrong somehow. And second of all, they'd still keep singing it in tribute to the Neil Diamond. So that's not going to stop Sweet Caroline.
No. The it's the way you kill Neil Diamond.
How do you do it?
This is what
Please
you do. You guys say, you take him captive.
Okay.
And you say, this is Neil Diamond. He sang this song.
Right.
This. So then you blow his brains out and go, anybody else sings this song, you're going to get this treatment.
There you
you
go.
Think that's practical?
Huh? I do. You know, I think that, you know, I like sort of a liberal... dictator. That's what I'm looking for.
Somebody,
you know, as long as they agree with what I think stinks.
Right.
I have no problem.
Well, I'm so happy you came in today because now you figured out a solution to the problem, which is to hold him hostage, then kill him publicly, so everybody knows that's what happens when you sing Sweet Caroline.
Yeah,
so
you're killing two birds with one stone.
I love it.
You're getting people to stop singing
the song.
We have
accomplished something.
Yeah. There you go.
All right. I videotape my dumbass friends singing it because they always wait until you're drunk. That's the key. You're drunk. The bop, bop, bop part is so fun. So I videotape my friends. I'm going to have to put them up online. I'm going to have to put them up and say, this needs to stop.
And tell them you're going to kill them. They'll get the same thing that happened to Neil Diamond.
Well, you know what's funny? I used to go, when I was living in New York, I'd go to Yankee games and root against the Yankees. And when they used to do that YMCA thing during the seventh inning stretch, the ground crew does it. I was like, oh, my God, seriously? Come on, you guys. That time they had like 26 or 24 championships. It's just like, come on, you're the Yankees. You're better than this, right? And I thought nothing could get worse than that.
Yeah.
And then Sweet Caroline, which just, I mean, I seriously.
Ugh. You long for the glory days of the Village People in a baseball game.
Yes.
All right. We are out of time, but Bill Burr is always hilarious and never more so on this new special called Let It Go. Please go to your Best Buy today and pick it up, or go to iTunes and get it, or Amazon and order it online. Whatever you do, you got to see it because it is great. And lots of extra stuff on it that you didn't see, even if you saw it on the TV. And Bill's on Love Line tonight, too, so have fun there. Man, always great to catch up with you. Thanks a lot for coming in on the Kevin and Bean Show.
All right, Bean. Thanks, man.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Got a brand new internet roundup for you next hour. Plus, Omar will be here with this week's Glee cap. I understand he hated last night's show more than he's ever hated any Glee ever, so it should be a lot of fun
for us. How is that possible?
We only make him watch the show because he hates it. If he liked it, we wouldn't be interested.
Wouldn't be fun.
All right, Ralph is out for just a couple more days. He will be back on Monday, and if he's listening, and I'm sure he's not, I'm sure that this is huge news for him. We told you earlier in the week that Emma Stone, who's an adorable actress, who's in that Easy A that's in theaters right now, that she was cast in the new Spider-Man movie, reboot of Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield as the he's in The Social Network. He's the new Spider-Man, and there was a lot of talk that she was going to be cast as Mary Jane Parker.
Right?
Is that her name? Mary Jane? Is it Parker?
I don't want
comic book geeks coming after me.
I don't know if she married Peter Parker, right?
Don't know.
Oh, right.
So,
right.
Mary Jane. It turns out she's actually going to be cast as a previous girlfriend of Peter Parker, Spider-Man, Gwen Stacy, who was killed off in the comics. Now, this must have some significance to some people, because apparently this is a very big deal. And if Ralph were here, he could explain to us what the significance is of Gwen Stacy versus Mary Jane, and why we should all care. So I just want to throw it out there, because I know there are a lot of comic book geeks listening to Showbiz Beat, and I know that they're very excited about news like this. So apparently, ladies and gentlemen, this is big news.
All right.
Okay, so then I'm apparently excited.
Good luck to all of you.
Do something with that information, won't you please?
Snooki from Jersey Shore has reportedly been offered $100,000 for a 3-year spokesperson role with a porn company.
Oh, she had to do porn, though, right?
She is not going to have to do it. She's just a non-sexual role as the spokesperson.
That is great news, because I will never see that.
How do you know, man? You'll just be going across stuff, and all of a sudden, there she'll be talking about sex.
Dear God, that's
You don't
weird.
Need to hear that.
How much are they offering her?
$100,000.
Man.
Unbelievable. Just to be a spokesperson and not do sex. That's the most she's ever gotten for not doing sex.
That is crazy. Those Jersey Shore kids make so much money.
They do.
We, along with everyone else in the world, have been making fun of actress Lisa Rinna for years. She's the one. What's she best known from, Lisa Rinna? What show
Melrose
was she
Place.
On? She's on Melrose Place?
Melrose Place, yeah.
Very pretty woman at one time in her life, but she's the one who got the crazy, crazy, crazy surgery on her lips. She's had those huge, like, balloon lips for the past 20 years.
Yeah, the cartoon lips.
Cartoon lips, yeah. Right. She's 47 years old right now, and she said she finally made the decision that she was going to have something done about it, because I guess they started feeling kind of bumpy and uneven, and they were starting to look even worse than before.
Oh, wow.
And she went in and she had surgery done. She went back for plastic surgery and had the lips fixed. And now she looks a million times better.
Really?
Because usually once you start down that plastic surgery road and you do something and then you screw it up.
Or you know, it's worse.
And then you try to fix it and that's not good.
I saw her on the TV yesterday talking about this, and the swelling is still not 100% down. It's going to be about another 6 months or so before it's completely back to normal. But honestly, you can't believe how much better she looks. So I'm so sad that we can no longer make fun of Lisa Rinna.
Oh, there's plenty of people to make fun of.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's be
honest. Well, good for her.
Today's celebrity birthday is Oscar-winning actress Elizabeth Shue, who won her Oscar, I believe, for Leaving Las Vegas and was recently in Piranha 3D. So you can tell her career is doing great.
She's going to win an Oscar for that as well.
She is 47 years old today. Bass player Tommy Stinson, who I know Psycho Mike is a big fan of course, famously from The Replacements, later on Guns N' Roses, turns 44 today. Actor Ian Gruffudd, who was in Titanic, Black Hawk Down, probably best known as Mr. Fantastic in the Fantastic Four movie, and the Chicks Think He's Hunky, is 37. And Kevin Cronin, ladies and gentlemen, lead singer of REO Mother Effin' Speedwagon. If you don't know REO Speedwagon,
you're
maybe
lucky.
They're best known for this song. Here's a clip of their number one hit, Can't Fight This Feeling.
And I don't know. That doesn't sound as good as I remember it.
Good to me, but apparently a lot of people like him. He is 59, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
We always do this question. Would you read this article? And then we read the title.
Okay.
Do you have that in front of you, Bean, the title of that particular article?
I do.
All right.
Suspect denies owning cocaine in his butt. Now, bear in mind, the cocaine was in his ass. Yet he said to the officers when they saw it, that's not mine.
You know where he's from?
That takes what? Where's he from?
Florida.
Naturally, he's from Florida.
Florida man arrested Wednesday on drug charges told cops that a bag of cocaine found hidden inside his buttocks did not belong to him.
And you've got to be thinking, okay, you're able to get that out, that line out to the police with a straight face. What are you going to follow that up with? How are you going to prove that? Because how else could something like that end up in your body?
And then there was another baggie of weed, and he said, okay, that's mine. but I don't know where the coke came from.
This guy's a dumbass all around. He gets pulled over because he's one of those guys. We've seen stories like this a lot lately. Paris Hilton in Las Vegas, remember? She and her boyfriend got pulled over because there was so much weed smell coming out of their car that they got pulled over. Same thing with this dude. So much weed coming out of the car. And this idiot says to the officers, not only am I not smoking, I don't even have any pot. You're welcome to search me and search the car, which they did. And then they started feeling around and felt the baggies in the back of his pants. And, yeah, they pulled out the weed, and then they pulled out the coke. And he says the coke's not his. Somebody had borrowed his car and left that on the seat, the passenger seat. And he, when he saw the police lights behind him, that's when he decided to hide it.
And it was 27 pieces of crack cocaine.
Oh, wow.
So that's probably a distribution charge, too, yeah. Which is, makes it a serious, serious offense. But it wasn't his, so... Then what do you do? I mean,
well, I'll tell you what we do is we ask Mr. Raymond Roberts all these questions that we have. He was the man who was driving the Hyundai down there in Florida, and we got him on the phone right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mr. Roberts, how are you?
Good morning, guys. It's a pleasure talking to you. I really am happy to have you on the
I'm
phone.
Sorry.
We can't. Mr. Roberts, we can't hear you.
Are you talking right into the phone?
Yeah.
Is there any way you can get it closer to your mouth?
Hey,
give
me 1 second.
What? What just happened?
Whoa.
Where was that phone when you answered the phone? Where was it?
For some reason, it was in my ass. I don't know why.
No.
In fact, my phone. But
it was your phone.
I don't know how it ended up there. I would never think to put something up there. But either way, like I said, I'm really happy you guys have me on the phone here to clear this up.
Okay.
It's a controversy. Obviously, it's eating away at me because... I'm not a cocaine user. I'm not a cocaine dealer. It's really troubling.
Okay, but you had a baggie of 27 rocks of crack cocaine.
Yeah.
Okay, in your butt.
Yeah.
That's a tough defense, I think, to say it's not mine.
It may sound strange, but it's the truth. I would never think to use cocaine. And like I said, someone must have just left that on my seat. And
does that happen a lot?
In a panic, I grabbed whatever was in my car. I admit to being a marijuana user, and I knew that the police wouldn't be too happy with me having marijuana, so I just started shoving stuff in my butt.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, are you sure you're not on cocaine? Because you sound awfully amped up.
No, not at all. Hold on. Okay.
What's happening?
How the hell did that get in there?
What is it?
A pig in my butt.
A pig?
Yeah. I have no idea. What's going on
here? Do you own a pig?
No, but I party a lot. You know, I pass out. Who knows what? Oh, you guys, I must have indigestion or something. Hold on.
Oh,
Jesus.
Wait, that was an elephant.
How the hell did that get in there?
Was that an elephant?
That sure was. Oh, I don't even. Do they have elephants in Florida? Holy mackerel.
Apparently they do.
Oh,
no. Is that a dolphin?
Bubbles? What the hell? I don't know why the hell there'd be a dolphin. I don't even swim. What the hell?
Was that on your car seat?
Ooh, I was partying hard last night, guys, but I had no idea.
It's one thing to have a couple of baggies in your butt, but seriously, now it's a whole zoo. What's going on here?
I don't know, guys.
And how much room do you have?
Clearly, I do not have a small anus.
That's
not. If you are a fan of a tight compartment, I am not your guy.
Wait, is that a taco truck?
It's an 83 Buick. I don't know where the hell. I drive Japanese. Well, I don't even know where I get it. Oh, my God.
Oh, no.
Oh, Kevin, what are you doing in my butt? Jeez.
Kevin.
What are you talking
about? I have no idea.
Omar hates Glee, and we love that so much. His Glee cap from last night's episode.
episode.
Is coming up in about 10 minutes right now, though. It's time for the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
We still happy with that little boy cowboy intro?
No, I'm really begging every week to please change that. But then we forget about it. We do the feature. It's like you don't have to fix your roof when it's not raining because now it's not leaking. It's that sort of thing.
We have a bunch of videos for you to check out today. Go to kevinandbean.com. One of them is super weird. It's from Wayne Brady, who's the whitest black man in America, and Mike Tyson and Bobby Brown. And it is them. It's Wayne Brady. It's a Wayne Brady skit where he's in bed with his wife and he dozes off and it's a dream he has. And the three of them do Every Little Step You Take, the old Bobby Brown song. Now, it's only fascinating because Mike Tyson is in it and he's whiter than Wayne Brady. I mean,
but I was really impressed with how well he moves for a big guy.
He moves like a tard.
No, he did way better than I expected him to do. Yes.
I was watching him going, what's wrong with Mike Tyson?
I couldn't dance that well.
Well, of course not, but you're not dancing on TV.
I'm just saying, considering it's Mike Tyson and how damaged he is, I was impressed with as well as he moved in this video. I really was.
Wow.
Well, I had a very different take on that one.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Oh my God. I just had this dream. I was in the dream of Mike Tyson, and Mike Tyson and I were dancing. It was every little step you take.
Well, you were dancing. Mike Tyson wasn't really dancing as much as whatever he was moving. We also have the worst tattoo customer ever, and this woman I would have thrown out of my shop in 5 seconds because tattoos are still voluntary, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
So you go in and you start screaming, I'm going to kick you out. Listen to this woman.
Okay.
Listen.
You're going to have to go a little
We all understand that there's a certain level of pain involved in tattoos, but she wasn't having a leg amputated without pain medicine. She was just getting a tattoo.
It was kind of on the back of her neck. And the dude kept yelling at her. He's like, listen, you're going to ruin your tattoo. Stop moving around and screaming.
You're right. He should have stopped right there.
Right.
Although now she's got a little something on her neck.
But she kept going, and then he kept tattooing, and he kept getting more upset.
It looked like it took 3 hours to do one tattoo.
Mike, is that a particularly painful place?
I don't know. I don't have one there, but I can't assume that it would be.
Listen, there's no tattoo I don't think that anyone has ever yelled that much at, right?
No. Ridiculous. I can guarantee a lot of artists would stop, because that's ridiculous. She's insane.
So Mike Realm, who remixes not only audio but video, did a remix of the worst tattoo customer ever. And the part about that that's so fascinating is the video fits the music.
That's hard to do. Talk about incredible.
Here's an Onion study, which I believe is a true study. Americans get a majority of exercise while drunk.
Thanks, Andrea. The study's findings are clear. Drinking to excess is now one of the most healthy activities Americans regularly do. Hoisting friends into the air in overly enthusiastic hugs, gesticulating wildly while telling stories, and chasing crying girlfriends down the street burns far more calories than most sober activities.
Isn't that great news?
That is good news.
If it weren't for drinking and the Wii, most of us would get no exercise.
That's true. Steve Harvey hosts The Family Feud. Explain that game for me, Bean. They survey people?
That's exactly what it is. They survey people, and then you have to try to come up with the answers that are most popular in order to get points and win the game. This is a show that's been on for 30 years with a whole bunch of hosts, and Steve Harvey is the latest.
We asked 100 men, name a part of your body that's bigger than it was when you were 16.
Your penis.
Okay.
Steve Harvey, who is Mr. Man of God, by the way, is so, at least he's playing, that he's so humiliated and embarrassed by this woman. And by the way, how quickly did she come up with that
really
answer?
Fast.
Before
really
you finish fast. The question.
Yeah. And of course, the real, you know, the answers that are actually on the board are your head and your shoulders and things like that.
Chest.
Penis, not on the list.
Not
but
even
she
one
was
of them.
Certainly quick with it. Very funny.
That was fantastic. We have 25 years of Oprah yelling.
Oh, I love this so much.
Oprah doesn't just introduce guests. She yells them onto the stage. And this is a collection of, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes, the original that you can watch online, kevinandbean.com, of Oprah introducing them.
Let's bring them out. Nicole Kidman, Oscar nominee, Kate Hudson. Yay! Marianne Cotillard. Please welcome our favorite urban cowboy, John Travolta.
Yeah, so she goes on. That's how she does every guest.
Why, though? Why does she yell so much?
I don't know. I guess out of excitement. But when you see them cut back to back to back to back, it's really funny.
Yeah. And I think she's just gotten worse over the years.
She has. Yeah.
Yes, there's no question definitely. About that.
And then finally, Jimmy Kimmel this week at Unnecessary Censorship. These are good words that are taken out and replaced with beeps. So they are not necessary
It's not necessary to censor them in this way, but it is much funnier.
This week, an unnecessary censorship.
The stakes are too high for our country and for your future, and I am going to get out there and f*** as hard as I can.
No. Maggie, inside you, I'm going to f*** off.
There are far too many videos on the internet showing girls f***ing each other.
Sesame Street had a special on f***ing.
He's quite a guy and has a big, big f***.
Where is the f***ing rain?
It is National Day, so look around to see if there are any free c***s.
So you got that
nice.
Going for you. None of those sentences needed beeps.
Are you sure?
Almost all of them from the news, which is the best part. It's not from entertainment shows. It's basically just straight news. And that's the Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Just like with you, Kevin. When I'm watching Glee now on Tuesday nights, all I can think about is what living hell Omar is going through enjoying the program.
You guys just need to admit that it's a bad show now.
It's not
seriously.
No, I love it.
It's a little heavy-handed at times. Last night was a little heavy-handed.
A little.
Yeah.
Every episode is a very special episode.
Just a bit.
The whole episode was preaching about God and whether you should believe or not.
Heavy-handed, yeah.
Acceptance.
But Omar, I know you hate it. I know some of it is funny. But what's wrong with a show that encourages young people to think about issues like that? What's wrong with doing that in a lighthearted way? In an entertaining way.
It's fine if they do it in a lighthearted and entertaining way. But this fails to do it on so many levels.
All right. It is time for the Kevin and Bean Wednesday Omar Glee Cap.
Glee Cap, Glee Cap, Glee Cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee Cap, Glee Cap, Glee Cap.
Now watch right here.
Glee Crap, Glee Crap, Glee Crap.
How does he do it?
You see? See what I'm doing?
Right. How does he do it?
What was your problem with last night's episode?
Just everything. Just like every episode, dude.
But that's not, you can't
was
just...
last night's episode written by Kirk Cameron, by the way? Seriously.
Bible
what
man?
Hell yeah. I swear he was going to jump out.
It's very possible.
It's insane, dude.
Yeah.
So, dumb jock Finn, at the beginning of the episode, is making a grilled cheese.
Yeah.
And he sees cheese, Jesus... in the grilled cheese. He calls it grilled cheeses.
Yes.
So he goes back to the Glee choir and he has this brilliant idea.
And so I thought maybe this week we could pay tribute to him in music. Pay tribute to Jesus.
Okay. So now we know what is going to happen in the entire episode. They're going to sing religious songs.
Right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Out! Shouldn't you be out at that point? Really?
Well, I don't know what the songs are yet. I got to find out what the songs are.
Okay. Let me play the first song for you. Go ahead.
Only the good die young. Oh, whoa, 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 whoa.
Are you out yet?
I don't think that one is a religious song, is it?
I have no
it's
idea.
It's a stretch.
Old Billy
to be
Joel
sure.
song?
Yeah.
Okay, but it's an old Billy Joel song.
Yeah, no, I'm out on that.
You're out, right?
Yeah, I don't care about
it. It's not for you.
No, that's not for me.
Okay, so not only is the show all about religion, the B story is, or actually it's probably the main story, the gay kid's dad is in the hospital. He has a heart attack.
Ooh.
Okay.
So everybody and the gay kid doesn't believe in God.
Okay.
So all the guys are trying to convince, oh, come on, you got to believe in something, man. You can't go through life without believing in something, you know? And, you know, trying to convince the gay kid to be, you know, at least accepting of other people's religion. The gay kid doesn't want any of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the gay kid goes to visit his dad in the hospital, but he wants some alone time. And I found this strange in last night's episode.
I don't think you should be alone, Kurt.
Please just give me a moment alone with my father.
We'll be right outside.
Dad? If you can hear me, squeeze my.
What?
I'm holding yours right now.
Oh, dude. Come on.
Just squeeze back. Come on, Dad. Squeeze my.
I was surprised that happened.
What,
you know?
Was it
no wonder
what
he's gay if he's treated that way growing up, by the way.
Omar, it was his hand. It was squeeze my hand. Yeah. That's all it was.
Are you kidding? Yeah. I heard something else,
what?
Dude.
He said hand.
No.
Squeeze my hand.
His pants were down, dude.
What are you talking about? You're making stuff up
I'm
now.
I'm not making it. That was on TV.
That wasn't.
It was.
It wasn't, though.
Okay.
We saw it.
So all the songs and you know from here on are all about trying to you know convince the... the gay kid to believe in something, and there was a lot of Little Precious last night.
Oh, sure.
Okay, so this is what she wants to convey, the message she wants to convey to the gay kid.
I've been struggling trying to figure out what I want to say to Kurt all day, and I realize I don't want to say it, I want to sing it. This song is about being in a very dark place and turning to God.
I thought it was a strange... I thought a strange choice, too.
Okay, I watched the show.
It was strange.
And she did I Look to You, the Whitney Houston song. Very spiritual, very pretty number. That's what she actually said.
Had she done Fat, it would have been a better show.
Right? I don't know, dude. You saw something else, dude.
I guess so.
So Big Nose does, I don't even know what song this is, but it's bad. Check this out.
Our Heavenly Father.
I'm out.
I don't know what this is either.
Yeah, it's from Yentl.
Okay, yeah. I can't take enough. Cut that off. All right.
Barbara Streisand.
Barbara Streisand. Oh, my God.
I turned to my wife and I was like, what is that?
Yeah.
She said the same thing. It's Barbara Streisand.
Yeah, she had to know. Yeah.
So Big Nose had to do it.
Yeah. So in the middle of the freaking episode, the gay kid, they do all this touching montage of him and his dad growing up. And they do a Beatles song, Kevin. A Beatles song.
I thought they were doing religious songs.
Well, I don't know. Does this have any religious undertone, Bean? Do you know?
You'll let me hold your hand. No, let me hold your hand.
And by the way, you always say they do the songs better than
that's
the original.
I think that is awful.
I
think for the most part, they do. That's not one of
them.
Every song in last night's episode was worse than the original.
Kurt's whole thing is he doesn't believe in God, but he does believe in his family, and he does believe in the relationship he has with his dad. And he's having a flashback memory to a time when, you know, after their, you know, the dad's wife died, Kurt's mom died, and dad held his hand, and that's what
that's
made him feel so close to
him. That's not what he said in the last clip.
That's why he's singing this song.
In the last clip, he said something very different.
So it's, I want to hold your beep, is what it actually is, right?
It should have been that. What's wrong with you?
But seriously, come on. You're out, right?
Listen.
It was terrible.
It was
just
not.
Just be out. Just quit.
Look, every week Omar comes in and convinces us that we can't watch this show anymore because it's bad. Yet every week we go back.
Even
I don't
week
know
before the Britney one, I thought was really good. And I still do.
I liked it.
Last night's wasn't necessarily.
So Big Eyes and Finn are discussing the grilled cheeses because Finn, this whole entire episode, has been praying to grilled cheeses to ask him to win the game. And he got to touch Big Nose boobs. I mean, I have bigger boobs than Big Nose, so I don't know what he's grateful for there. But this is the message that he gets out of it.
You look disappointed.
I am. It was sort of cool feeling like I had this direct line to God. And I just feel like everybody else. You know, like we're all just floating around in space.
So he feels like he loses religion, and he does this song.
Losing my religion.
A little too on point for you, maybe?
God, are you kidding me?
Because she explained to him that Jesus wasn't in his cheese sandwich?
Yes. Come on with that.
Listen,
really?
It's not their best episode.
Okay, so then Little Precious, they're at the church, the big black church, right, with all the gospel singers,
right.
And she does this.
I know you don't believe in God. You don't believe in the power of prayer, and that's okay. To each his own. Anyway, Kurt, this song is for you.
Have some more chicken, have some more pie.
Which, again, I thought it was an odd choice.
Well, for a black church choir.
Yeah, you know, it's very, very strange, you know.
I'm calling doctoring on this tape
I'm
calling.
I don't know. And then you know, there's always the super cheesy moments of the show, which this is it.
I don't believe in God, Dad, but I believe in you.
Ugh.
And I believe in us.
Did Nicholas Sparks write this? Are you kidding me? Kevin, you're in on this? You're defending this? Me, you too?
I'm not defending last night's episode as one of
their... But you're still going to give it a shot.
You every week.
Better ones.
No,
I
didn't.
I said last week I thought was really good.
And this piece of crap.
This isn't good.
God is good. Yeah.
Oh.
That wasn't
come good. On with that, dude.
No, I'm down with you on that.
What happened to Joan Osborne?
She sucks.
So you're saying you love Glee and are excited every week
Listen,
when it comes on?
No. I am just
you're
I can't even disagree. I'm just why you people?
Well,
why? Really?
It's done
first
pretty
of all,
well.
No, what do you mean by you
not.
People?
Usually it's done pretty well.
Usually
I was not a fan of
it's
last
crap.
Night's.
And last night's episode was crap.
It was crappier
and
than
every
most.
Week I come in and I play you a load of crap. And now I'm going to go take my crap and package it up and then send it to Glee.
Glee crap, Glee crap, Glee crap.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, next half hour, as a result of the conversation we just had with Omar on the air about the grilled cheese sandwich with Jesus in it, we are going to be taking your calls if you've seen these apparitions from heaven. If you've seen Jesus or the Virgin Mary somewhere, we're going to want to hear from you.
Or you have friends or family who have.
We want to know how you know.
We have somebody here that we're going to bring in that's going to tell us that she saw the Virgin Mary.
Right, but she crazy.
Right. Well, that's what I think. But she
she crazy, a.k.a. Mexican.
Okay. True, in this case, you're absolutely right.
Both.
Yes. Yes. First of all, Mike, don't you know that words can hurt and harm? And second of all, hey, you're absolutely right in this case.
I'm just speaking from experience, having to deal with my grandmother's crazy beliefs and traditions, how she can cure things with witch hazel and dog fur. Okay? It's just,
right.
It comes along with La Raza.
Right. I like it.
Anyway, that's the next half hour here at the Kevin and Bean Show. In the meantime, Ralph is out this week. We are taking turns filling in with the showbiz beat, and this time it's Psycho Mike's turn. What's going on?
Dave Grohl, the nicest man in rock and roll, possibly.
Yeah.
And amiable, likable.
Mm-hmm.
What can make a guy like that want to derail an entire band's career and bankrupt them in the process?
What?
Testicles.
What?
That's right, Lisa Maples.
I am not following you.
I'm telling you that an incident at a recent Scissor Sisters concert has got Dave very upset, and he's willing to sue. Let's let Mr. Grohl tell it himself.
And then Jake Shears was singing.
And what happened, sir?
He took off his clothes. And then I saw his testicle.
You saw Jake Shear's testicle.
I saw his.
That's right.
Balls.
He was so
balls.
Disturbed by balls. What lead singer Jake Shears of the Scissor Sisters did at a show, exposing himself,
yeah,
that he's now suing the band for $75 million in damages.
That sounds fair.
I like the balls in L.A.
It does sound fair. Mr. Grohl agrees. He says, I think it's fair for the band, their management, the label, the wardrobe department, Ticketmaster, and the venue to pay me for the hurt that I've been caused. Clearly, this is all a joke, and you can see the full video at scissorsisters.com.
That's and awesome. I'm talking about his balls.
Emma Stone has been confirmed to be a part of the new Spider-Man reboot. Now, it was thought that she might be Mary Jane Watson, but turns out she's going to be an earlier character in the comic book series named Gwen Stacy. Sorry, lost my place there. But the good news is that there is not going to be any Fuggy McSnaggle.
Good.
Curse the Dust.
Yes.
What's her name?
Bucky Von Pickett's. Dental Onasty. The Hollywood Reporter is saying that Sam Raimi, the franchise's creator, who has left the franchise,
mm-hmm,
was happy to find out that of the casting because, much to his surprise, Emma Stone, a natural blonde.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I don't know how that's relevant.
I don't either.
Because maybe the character is blonde and she'll play blonde. And
I know, but
it'll look good on her.
Sam Raimi's left the franchise. Yeah. Much like Jennifer Grey about 10 years ago,
mm-hmm,
getting a nose job and alleviating herself of her trademark look.
Yes.
Lisa Rinna, who's known for her big poofy lips.
Lips.
She has had surgery to reduce those.
What happened to those? They were like five people's worth of lips.
She had implants.
Lip implants?
Yeah. People, that's what Melanie Griffith did.
But back in the 80s, Lisa May, she was quite frank about having silicone injected into her upper lips. And that continued on through about last year.
That's a terrible idea.
The 47-year-old told People magazine, my lips started to define who I am.
Yeah.
And if you had seen her Playboy spread, you know that was her only pair of lips that defined who she was. She has a body to envy, though, I will say. For a woman, she's 47 years old and obviously puts in her work. And I was saying off the air, I really like Lisa Rinna. I know it sounds crazy, but she's very kind of self-aware for a woman like her who's kind of a celebutante. She hosts these red carpets. She does, you know, these... she's got her own reality show coming out about her and her husband, Harry Hamlin. But she, you know, if she realizes she's annoying or is talking too much, she'll come out on a talk show and say, you know, I think I've been too annoying. I think my lips started to get a little out of control. I'm having them reduced. She's very self-aware and open, and I dig Lisa Rinna, so good for her.
Right.
She says her lips now have no lumps, and they're smooth.
Well, you look good.
It doesn't matter what other people think. I did it for myself.
Is this the first lip reduction?
First I've ever heard of,
yeah,
that's for sure.
Too.
No, Dr. Ray actually told me that labiaplasty is the number one surgery.
No. We're talking about lips on your face.
On your mouth.
Programming note, tonight, if you are a fan of combat sports and MMA, You get some UFC Unleashed on Spike, and then you get another excellent episode of The Ultimate Fighter. Koscheck and GSP. It's been a great, great season so far. You have to tune in. But tonight is the debut of UFC Primetime, which is kind of a behind-the-scenes documentary show about the upcoming fighters in UFC 121. It is Brock Lesnar and Cain Velasquez. Mm. And I don't know if you like Brock Lesnar. I don't know if you do or not, but he is riveting.
Yes.
The guy is a fascinating person. So to get the behind the scenes look at Brock Lesnar plus Cain Velasquez, who's
scares the hell out of me.
He's a very scary fighter, but a super soft spoken, nice guy. And they're really playing up the fact that he could be the first Hispanic UFC heavyweight champion. So that is tonight on Spike TV. Celebrity birthdays today.
We're on a list.
They are on a list, and I'm looking at them, and I'm trying to find someone who is in fact a celebrity. Tommy Stinson of The Replacements and Guns N' Roses, 44. Amy Jo Johnson, she was, in fact, the pink Mighty Morphin Power Ranger. She was also on Felicity, I'm being told, 40 years old. And Loan Griffad.
Ian. I think it's just pronounced Ian.
Okay. He was in The Fantastic Four, but he's also
Mr. Fantastic.
Horatio Hornblower. Those are your celebrity birthdays, and that is the Showbiz Beat.
Hey! No. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 13 minutes after 9 o'clock.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. Minutes ago, we were talking to Omar in his Glee cap about a plot line on the show last night that involved seeing a vision from heaven. Listen up.
I saw the face of God. Literally. I had made a grilled Jesus.
You know, you can get those now. They sell those.
Absolutely, yeah.
I got one for Christmas, I think from Bean or somebody, where you can actually make a grilled Jesus.
But see, that's cheating. We're talking now about the people who really do get visited from heaven because they see Jesus in a tree or the Virgin Mary on a board, and they believe that it is some sort of a message from heaven, and they're supposed to act on it. They're supposed to line up for it and pray for it and protect it and light candles for it. And stories like this come along every three or four times a year or something like that. It seems like you see one from around the country. We have a friend named Aisa who works here at the mighty flagship station of the Kevin and Bean Show. And she crazy. We love her, but she crazy. And she told us in the office so nonchalantly yesterday, oh, yeah, that happened to me. I saw the Virgin Mary. Hi, Aisa.
Good morning.
Now, if you or your friends have seen or your family or somebody has seen this, we were going to want your calls at 1-800-520-1067. First, Aisa, the yes. Virgin Mary. Where did you see her?
Phoenix. I grew up in this little town in Arizona, and it actually happened last year. I got a call from one of my friends in high school, and she said, hey, get this. The Virgin Mary appeared on the side of a house. Actually, it was on a water heater. It had rained, and all of a sudden, after days of raining, the stain that appeared on the actual outside of the water heater was the image of the Virgin Mary.
Right. Okay, let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. Is it the Virgin Mary because it's a blotch and you want it to be the Virgin Mary? I mean, why isn't it Charlize Theron or why isn't it Hillary Clinton? I mean, how can you really tell who it is?
Well, because it's the outline of her shape. It's the outline of her image. I mean,
Famous iconic drawing of the Virgin Mary is what you guys are saying. We don't know whether that has any relation to the real Virgin Mary, though.
We do know.
I think it does.
We do know.
Okay.
The answer is no. So I says to Aisa, I says, but so the outline on it looks like the Virgin Mary.
Mm-hmm. It does.
And she says, without batting an eye, it was her.
It is her. Who else could it be? I mean, if it was...
Any woman. I mean, really.
Or Nick Nolte.
It could be 3 billion people.
How many women walk around with, you know, this beautiful shroud around her and a crown and roses and things like that?
I'm willing to accept that there was something that made the dirt or something that made the shape of the Virgin Mary. Let's say that.
Kevin, it's about faith. It's about believing that it's something. It's something that you go there and you see and you think, okay, that could very well be her. I'm a huge cynic. I don't believe in anything.
Yeah,
I
sound like it.
Right. No, then explain the dichotomy. Why do you believe this is the Virgin Mary then, if you're generally a cynic?
Because if you don't believe in something, if you don't have faith in something, then what's the point in believing?
Okay, but Aisa, here's the thing. You can believe in the Virgin Mary. I believe in God. I don't think either of them are on the outside of a water heater. There's a difference.
Why can't it be?
If the Virgin Mary was a supernatural being and was going to show herself, she would pick a water heater on the side of a house in that back-assward town you grew up in? Really? I mean, really, that's maybe where she's...
Maybe she appeared there for a reason. Maybe there was somebody who was sick, or maybe there was somebody who needed,
that's
needed
what I'm to thinking. Believe
in something. Okay, then why didn't she go in and heal them?
She goes where she's needed.
But the sick exactly person has to make their way out to the water heater.
That's it sounds like a lot of work for the sick person.
Come on now.
If she's maybe the sick person is the person that's there to repair the water heater and sees it and says, "Oh my God, that's it."
There you go. Now you've won me over. Now, Issa, here's what I don't understand about this, and I'm the one who doesn't believe in God. I think it's a fine story, and I have nothing against people who choose to make that part of their life. I'm fine. To me, it's like believing in Santa Claus. No joke. But isn't part of the deal with the faith is that you believe even though there is no proof? You believe because it's in your heart, because it makes you feel better, because it makes you happy, because you think it's right, or whatever your reason is. You don't need to see the Virgin Mary on a water heater to believe in Jesus or God or the Virgin Mary, right?
No, absolutely not.
So then why make up all the BS about the water heater thing? Why not just believe because you believe?
You can believe because you believe, but wouldn't it be great to have some sort of a small, however small it is, reinforcement that it could possibly be real?
But isn't the fact that you wake up in a beautiful world with beautiful things and beautiful people and love in your life, isn't that enough proof for you?
Oh, sure. That is enough proof, but I'd like to be able to go and kneel down and worship at a water heater and see the Virgin Mary.
You're joking, though.
I'm not joking.
Did you go home and do that?
I went home to see it. I went, and there's literally they've built a glass in covering. There's candles awesome. And flowers. I mean, it's a place to go to hopefully believe that in this there's a small sign there in this big giant world.
Okay, but here's
something there.
Here's what I'm suggesting, Aisa. We have no problem with you going to that house and worshiping, but you couldn't do it on the other side of the house. You have to be on the side with the water heater.
Well, that's where the Virgin Mary is. I mean, I could be inside watching it on TV, I guess.
Okay, we're going to take calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you're a crazy Mexican like our friend Ais is, and let's be honest, it's only crazy Mexicans who see Jesus and the Virgin Mary. And by the way, if the Virgin Mary and Jesus, if they were happening for you and your people, wouldn't the Raiders go to the playoffs more often? I mean, really?
Raiders. Hey, you know what, by the way, if I see the Virgin Mary on a grilled cheese sandwich, I'm still eating the grilled cheese sandwich.
All right. Oh, see, then you don't believe it's her.
That's what happened last night, Ugly. He ate
it's
it.
Exactly.
All right, Aisa, we love you very much. Thank you for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You're crazy. Thank you.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. Top that, crazy Mexican. Your call is coming up on the Kevin and Bean
Show. Jesus H. Christ in a chicken basket.
That's what we're talking about. We're talking about you saw Jesus in a chicken basket or you saw the Virgin Mary in an iron. Those are the stories we're looking for at 1-800-520-1067. It happened on Glee last night. They saw the Virgin Mary, or was it Jesus they saw? It was Jesus, right? The grilled cheese sandwich.
It was Jesus.
And that's why we're taking your calls today to find out what's up with that. Let's start with David real quick on line six, calling us at 1-800-520-1067. David, thanks a lot for hanging on, man. When did you see the Lord?
Probably like 4 years ago, I was back from the Navy hanging out with my buddy at his house, having a few beers, and we were watching TV. And I couldn't see the TV real well because it was really dusty, so I asked my buddy for something to wipe the TV off with, and he just threw me a sock, and when I wiped the TV off, I looked at the sock, and Jesus was in the sock.
There it is. There it is.
So the dust that came off the TV screen was in the shape of the classic picture that we know as Jesus.
Yeah. And it was kind of like, I'm like, this is a weird coincidence. So we kind of put the sock aside and waited till the next morning and looked at it. And sure enough, it was Jesus in the sock.
Okay, I hope you fell to your knees.
Now, here's the crux of the issue. You think it was Jesus or it just happened to be in the shape of?
I think it just happened to be in the shape of him.
All so right. You washed it?
Say it again?
You washed it? Did you wash Jesus?
It wasn't my sock. It was my buddy's, but it was dirty when he gave it to me. I'm hoping he washed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if it turns out to be Jesus, you are going straight to hell. You have signed your own death warrant. I'm sorry.
You'll put Jesus in the washing machine.
He's like, what do I have to do? Let's try Lorenzo, line two, here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Lorenzo. Thanks for hanging on. What happened, man?
Hey, Kevin and Bean, Lisa May.
Hi.
Who'd you see?
All right. So I was in the shower. I was actually getting ready to take a shower, and like you know how like when you have it on hot, mm-hmm. the steam starts to go on, and the door is actually clear, so you can like kind of see through it.
Right.
A few minutes later, I noticed that it got really foggy, but there was like an image starting to create, and like a few minutes later, I actually noticed that was the face of the devil. And you, what actually like made me thought it was because it was like really skinny.
Wait, you saw the face of the devil in the shower steam?
No, like it was like on the door.
On the glass door.
Okay. So what'd you do?
I mean, what did you do?
I turned off the shower and I got out of there.
Yeah. Well, that's your only option.
Did you wipe it down?
No, like, I just wait. Like I just didn't even go to the shower like the whole day. It was just kind of like little like freaky. Just had it.
Do you believe in God and the devil? Did you think it was the devil, or it just freaked you out?
It just freaked me out. Okay. I was what the hell is that? Yeah.
What does the devil
what the hell
look
is
like?
The joke?
Like, we don't even. Yeah. We don't.
He's
have
got the horns, Lisa.
It.
For God's sake,
that's a
don't you know
costume.
Anything?
I know. I would think the water would be so hot in the shower if you had the devil in there with you. I would think, but
too
I guess
hot,
not.
Right?
Yeah, you'd have to jump out. All right, let's try Susan. We haven't talked to any crazy Mexican chicks yet. Let's bring Susan.
Yes, we have. We talked to
Aisa. I mean, of our listeners who've been calling.
Okay.
Hi, Susan. Welcome to the show. What'd you see?
Hey guys. Hey, Lisa May.
Hi.
About 10 years ago, my husband and I were up in the mountains and decided to pull over and make some snow angels in a snowbank.
Mm-hmm.
And when I stood up to look in the head at our snow angels, in the head of my snow angel was a perfect cross.
Perfect
Dude,
cross?
Really?
What on your head made a perfect cross in the snow?
Well, that's the thing. My husband and I looked at it, and we started freaking out for 10 seconds, and we're like, oh, my God. And then he pulls my hood off and says, oh, it's just the stitching on your jacket.
There you go. There it is.
So there was a reasonable explanation as to how it happened.
Yes, there was.
All right, but you freaked out for a second. All right, thank you. That's a good call.
Thanks for your call. So not divine intervention that time. All right, let's try which one you like. We don't have very much time here.
Well, I like Robert. I think we're going to have to get to The Rock.
Let's talk to Robert.
It's just, hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Now, so far we've had a lot of vanishing things, a lot of stains, this dust on the sock,
steam.
Right.
You found what on a rock?
Yeah. Like my family was, we were cleaning out our backyard and we looked at a rock and supposedly like the image of the Virgin Mary was like on the rock.
Now when you say supposedly, you mean you didn't see it or you did see it?
I did see it, but honestly, I didn't picture the Virgin Mary until they told me it looked like the Virgin Mary.
And then when they told you that, you said?
And then I said, well, yeah, it kind of looks like her, but I mean, it's just like a weird stain.
I haven't seen the Virgin Mary in a long time. Is this young, hot Virgin Mary? Is this old, busted Virgin Mary?
This was like, I don't even know if I could say this because I'm Catholic. I guess it would be young, hot Virgin Mary.
All right.
Yeah, I don't think the Catholics, I don't think they're down with the hot Virgin Mary.
All right, so I guess she wouldn't have been a virgin if she's hot. So what did you do with the rock then?
They kept it for a while, but...
Did they firmly believe it was the Virgin Mary?
Yeah, they did. They really believed it was the Virgin Mary.
Did you believe it?
Then don't you keep it forever?
No, they didn't keep it because over like the years, the stain started to fade. So,
interesting.
She was moving on to the hot water heater. You know,
that's right. Look, she can't be everywhere at once. She's just one person. I'm giving you all I got, Captain.
106.7 K Rock is K R O Q, and it is 9:42. Whatever you lead with this, I know it's something I don't care about.
How dare you? How dare you? This is very sad, Kevin. It's Kevin and Bean's show on a Wednesday. Ralph is out this week. We are taking turns filling in on the Showbiz Beat. It's Kevin and Bean's turn this hour. Phil Collins says that his new album, In Stores Now, called Going Back, which is a collection of him singing his favorite songs from mostly the Motown era, because he seems to love that.
Nope.
And I'm sure it sucks. Has told Billboard.com that he has no plans to make any more new music or tour ever again.
Oh, no.
Really?
Phil, what are we going to do without Phil Collins out there doing all those popular things that he hasn't done in 25 years? What are we going to do without that?
That's going to be heartbreaking.
I know that the week that I was out on vacation, you had a very angry Phil Collins fan who was barraging Ralph with disparaging emails because he was suggesting that Phil couldn't drum anymore because his hands were hurt. Maybe that has to do with why he's walking away from music business.
Right.
There was a time where Phil Collins, by the way, tremendous credibility as a drummer for the band Genesis, but he has not been cool for a very long time. What is Phil going to do with all of his free time? Well, he's writing a book about the Alamo.
What?
Pasty British Phil Collins is writing a book about the Alamo. Apparently, he is obsessed with that chapter of American history. He is a huge collector of artifacts from the Alamo and from the Texas Revolution. He collects weapons from the period, stuff from the Alamo Fort itself.
He has a receipt for some cattle that were sold to a commander of the Alamo. He hopes to write his book about the Alamo and have it out in stores by 2012.
Phil Collins has gone bye-bye.
Yes, he has. Look, the Alamo is a fascinating story, and there are lots of very talented people who have and will continue to tell that story. I'm going to bet anything that Phil Collins is not that guy. So maybe just retire.
He's going to write a book about the Alamo.
Maybe just tend to your garden, and maybe that's what you do next, Phil.
The Octobomb needs a new home. She needs a new house. Nadia Suleiman needs
Again.
A new house.
Yes. This would be the second time.
She has a few kids.
14, right?
Yeah.
Yes, she has 3 days to pay off her debt, which is $450,000. I didn't know, you know, how she got the house originally.
Veiled
story where somebody donated it to her, I thought.
Yeah, me too.
But apparently this dude decided that it's Amir is his name, and he wants the $450,000 in 3 days or she's out.
So he really is going to throw a woman, a single woman, without a job and 14 kids out on the street. That's his plan?
Well, I mean, yeah, I don't know what the deal was going in. Maybe
because if that is his plan, I support it. I'm down with it.
This kind of multiple birth is more suited to, say, a possum than a human being.
Well, you are correct about that. Chelsea Handler has become inexplicably popular in the last couple of years or so. I don't know what that's about. She's got the very popular show on E! She has three best-selling books out, including one that's on the New York Times bestseller list now called Chelsea, Chelsea, Bang, Bang.
Nope.
She was the host of the MTV Video Music Awards. She has sold out 80 cities on her upcoming stand-up tour.
What's happening?
And now apparently she's some sort of A-level movie star because she is going to be in a new film with Reese Witherspoon, Oscar-winning actress Reese Witherspoon, Chris Pine, who, of course, is Captain Kirk from Star Trek. A movie is called This Means War, directed by our friend McGee. She is playing Reese Witherspoon's best friend, who is lusted after by two friends of theirs.
No.
So she's not only in a movie, she's like the sexy time in the movie.
She's not the sex symbol.
She's Chelsea Handler, though, right?
Right.
I don't...
This is odd.
Look, I know comedy is subjective, but she's just not funny, and that's science. Right?
I don't know how she got so popular, but I do know that there's an interesting list that accompanies this story about other talk show hosts who have made appearances in the movie, and I guess I never really thought about this before. Of course, everybody remembers David Letterman and his appearance in that Chris Elliott film, Cabin Boy.
Yeah, that was
Bad
movie.
Very few of us saw the movie, but almost all of us have seen David Letterman making fun of that appearance in subsequent years because apparently it was just a terrible movie.
Yeah, it was.
But he did it for his friend Chris Elliott. Jay Leno has been in a number of movies, including one called Collision Course, another one called American Hot Wax. By the way, Jay Leno, not an actor. Conan O'Brien, appropriately enough, played a character called Coco in a movie that came out in 1996 called Good Money. Never heard of that one.
Nope.
Craig Ferguson has had a lot of work as an actor, been in a lot of movies, the biggest of which was probably Lemony Snicket, the movie that he almost co-starred in with Jim Carrey. He, of course, a late-night talk show host. Jon Stewart has been in a number of movies, including Death to Smoochie and Big Daddy. Jimmy Fallon, maybe he's not really fair to put on this list because he actually was an actor, and I guess it wasn't going that well, and that's how he ended up as a late-night talk show host. But a lot of them have not been able to resist the urge to get into movies just because they have a talk show. Chelsea Handler, just the latest.
That's hard to believe. Snooki, speaking of things that are hard to believe, has been reportedly offered a $100,000 contract to be a spokesperson for a porn company.
Now, what does a spokesperson for a porn company do?
I don't know. Unless she comes on before the DVD.
Well, remember Snoop had that deal for a while.
Where he would just introduce different movies or something?
Huh.
But that's a boner killer, right?
Isn't
that's
not
what
you want.
You don't want to open up the DVD and put it on and then see Snooki.
Yeah, that does. You're starting at a deficit. You've got to work your way back up to being not aroused in order
to make my erection go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That is no
good. She's been offered $100,000 for a non-sexual role as, quote, the face of the company.
Hmm.
Yeah, that is not a good face.
It's not a good face.
It's not a good face at all. I didn't even know there was a category of Oompa Loompa porn movies. That confuses me.
This one's for Lisa May. The TLC show that only she has seen called Sister Wives is now in the hands of a county prosecutor in Utah. TMZ is reporting. The Utah County Attorney has confirmed that a felony bigamy investigation is going on into Cody Brown and his gigantic family. Now, how many wives is this guy dealing with on that TV show, Lisa?
He has three.
I think he has three and a fiance.
And a fiance.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right now, they are deciding in Utah whether to charge the family with a crime or not. Of course, it's against the law to marry multiple partners. You can get 5 years in prison if you are convicted of that. And I don't know at this point why someone would go on TV and call attention to the fact that they had multiple marriages. And if this guy did that, they should put him in jail just for being too stupid to live on the outside.
He says he considered the option that they might be prosecuted, and it was worth it.
All right, now I have a boner.
Who said that? And finally, for those of us who were hoping that Bieber time was almost at an end, because we've heard just about enough of this punk, he apparently has been offered a deal to host the revival of the show Punked on MTV.
That's coming back?
Apparently it is coming back. That's what they're saying right now. Punked, the original incarnation, ran for 69 episodes over 4 years before it ended in 2007, although a day has not gone by where they don't continue to air one on MTV.
True.
Ashton Kutcher was the host back then. He is going to continue to be the executive producer of the new version. But apparently Justin Bieber is going to be the guy who's going to be hosting it, which I guess will be a big surprise for people. Maybe, I don't know. I don't know how anyone falls for anything after Punked. I mean, that show was so popular.
Maybe this is a punk. This press release.
Maybe that's it.
Maybe it's just Ashton Kutcher going, ha-ha.
Some of the celebrities, by the way, who were played pranks on include Justin Timberlake, Britney Spears, Katie Holmes, Matthew Perry, and lots of others. So there's a whole crop of people out there who, you know, have come along since the original Punk. But Justin Bieber? I don't know. What up? Today's
that's a good question.
Celebrity birthdays. I'm finding out what it's like to be Ralph Garman, because you say something wrong on the Showbiz Beat and you absolutely will hear about it. Apparently, Elizabeth Shue, Oscar nominated for Leaving Las Vegas, did not win that year. I was mistaken on that. Apparently, that was the year that Mira Sorvino won her Oscar, so Elizabeth Shue did not win. But she's still a great actress and still awfully hot, and she turns 47 years old today. Tommy Stinson, bass player for The Replacements and later Guns N' Roses, is 44 today. Mr. Fantastic from the Fantastic Four movie, Ian Gruffudd, is 37 today. And Kevin Cronin from REO Mother Effin' Speedwagon, 59 today, playing at a county fair sometime near you this holiday season. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
All right, this is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new program. It's quite chocked full of celebrities. We have Dr. Drew because it's Thursday.
Okay.
We always talk
not
about,
a real doctor.
About whatever BS he has. We have Brian Deegan on the program. We have ass-dialing mistakes. Happens a lot. Your cell phone.
Oh, yeah. Didn't Bean ass-dial us quite a few times?
He's done that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know I've dialed my wife on numerous occasions.
Yeah, it's fun to try and figure out what he's doing. I'll tell you. All those noises, you go, what the hell's going on? Wes Craven tomorrow on the program.
Okay.
And Edward Mother Effin' Norton.
How about that? How you like us now?
I'm impressed with you.
Weird, right? It's not us, but it's going to be, he's great.
Yep.
So, can't wait. That's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
There's no place you can get a Red Hot Chili Pepper song, but right here on the world-famous K-Rock, and we've got it for you, coming up with Cat Corbett as part of 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock Next. Also, the new one from the Dirty Heads. We've got some Foo Fighters, Muse, Smashing Pumpkins, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.